We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
I think we should all take a moment to think about what it's like to be a turkey.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Hi, I'm just a little turkey.
Just cut the damn bird, boy.
Dewey, can we just enjoy our Thanksgiving dinner?
You think you're so great, sitting there all drugged up on your trampoline. You're the black sheep of this family. You call yourself a cox. Until you get right with Jesus, you'll never be nothing but a big black cox.
Right there, Dewey Cox. Just cut the damn bird, boy. Welcome back, everybody, to the best talk show anywhere in the country. We are Bernie and Sid in the morning here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. As you know, no Bernard today. He took the day off. Had his MRI yesterday, and I don't know what happened. I don't know what's next. I guess I'll speak to Bernie at some point today. If not, we'll all hear from Bernie on Monday. But you've got me, solo, and man, have I put together with Justin and Luke and the whole crew an amazing show for you today. I mean, guests galore. That's how I do it. I like to talk to folks, you know. And tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and I know we all have a lot to be thankful for, some more than others. I get it. A lot of us did not have a great year, a perfect year. But my feeling is that most of us, we're in a pretty good place today, the day before Thanksgiving. I'd love to hear from all of you out there what you're most thankful for, which includes this show. Because I know that a lot of you get up in the morning, and if you don't hear my voice and or Bernie's voice, you're lost. And let me tell you, I get it. Because I've been a talk radio junkie for a long time myself. Now, I've always been a big Howard Stern fan. You guys know that. As Bernie calls him, Coward Stern. That's fine. Bernie and Howard, listen, Bernie was an I'm a soldier a lot longer than I was. I was on and off with Don for the better part of 18 years. Bernie was there for about 30. And even though Bernie hated Imus, hated him with a vengeance, that's true, for most of it, he still remains somewhat loyal, like I do. So he never really liked Stern. He was friends with Gary Delabate like 100 years ago. And he met Howard, I guess, on occasion back at NBC. But there was no great love there. I've always been a huge Stern fan. Now, I hate what he's become. And I hate his political views. They're disgusting. But he's still a great radio host. And still does the best interview, I think, in the business. I think I'm second to him. But that's how good Howard is. Still, to this day. So I would get up in the morning. I'd need him. I'd need Howard. Now, when I was a little boy, and my dad, who I miss again, this is my second Thanksgiving without him, he would drive me to school. He'd have Imus on. And I hated it. I used to scream, "Daddy, stop! What is this? Come on, put music on." But then I was about early teens, and I was on the way to Poly Prep one morning, and Imus used to do this skit. It was History of the World. That was the name of the skit. And it was written by the great Charles McCord, and voiced, I believe, by Charles McCord. And in the skit, that particular morning, they were talking about what happened to the Hindenburg. You know what that is, Justin Ehrlich, the Hindenburg?
No.
Okay, great. Luke, what about you? Put your mic on. Yeah. The Hindenburg.
Justin, am I up? Thank you.
Yeah.
The Hindenburg's the big blimp that was went up in flames and came down.
Very good. In New Jersey. There you go.
What grade did we learn that in?
Every grade, you moron. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. I take that back. But anyway, so in this History of the World skit, Imus's character is having sex with a girl, and they got the humping and the moaning and the whole thing as part of the bit. And when they finish, Now, they're in this very flammable, you know, blimp, as Luke just mentioned. At the end of the skit, Imus goes, "Can you light my cigarette?" And they claim that's why the Hindenburg blew up. Now, maybe I didn't deliver it properly. Maybe I didn't do it justice. But I remember being in the car and going, wow, that's really smart. That's really creative. This guy, Imus, may be better than I thought. Who knew, by the way, folks, that 25 years later, I'd be working for that maniac. But that's why I started to appreciate Imus. So long story short, I'm one of those guys that when I got up in the morning, I love music. Right, I come to work with Gene, my cab driver. We always exchange a couple of pleasantries. He made my son, his wife, his beautiful wife, made my son a birthday cake. You've never seen anything like this. It's a sheet cake. It's like they serve at a wedding. And today is, in fact, my son Gabriel's 13th birthday. You know, we celebrated his bar mitzvah a couple of weeks ago. But today is actually his 13th birthday. So my son is now a teenager, moving me closer and closer to death. But like Gene in the morning, we say hello to each other. Then I stop talking because I've got my music on. So I need my music in the morning. But then I need talk radio. So I get it. You folks get up in the morning. You want to hear some Bernie. You want to hear some Sid. And we give it to you. So call us today, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. As always, that's the number. What are you thankful for the day before Thanksgiving, which for most people is their favorite holiday? It is for me. And what a guest list we've got, as I just mentioned at the top of the show. Frank Morano is going to stop in next segment because I like him. That's it. He has nothing to offer. Nothing. But I like him. So he'll be in at 6:25. As I entered the building this morning, I looked up at the television. There was my boss, who was really my friend. He really is. I've become so close with John and Margot Katsimatidis. I really have. He was at my son's bar mitzvah. He actually took the Torah, put it back in the in its place. That's how close we've become. Family friends. He was on Fox News this morning talking about this oil deal. So it turns out this genius, Joe Biden, the president of ours, decides to, you know, shut down the pipelines, shuts down the Keystone pipeline. Here we were under Donald Trump, energy efficient, didn't have to worry about getting oil and gas from anybody else. We had everything we needed right here. We became the kind of the go-to people for that. Biden reverses all of it, shuts down the pipelines, and now we're going into the reserve, something we haven't done with oil for the better part of 10 years. And it begs the question, why would you shut down the pipeline and rely on somebody else? And now going into reserves, what does that mean if we've got an emergency? So I don't really know the minutiae of all this. Neither does Bernie, right? We know what the difference between Trump and Biden and what Trump did, which was great for the United States, and the oil industry, and what Biden is doing, which is awful. But the real minutiae, only a guy like John would know because John is involved in that business. Yes, he's got Christides and D'Agostino's. Yes, he owns WABC, but he's really an oil tycoon. So he'll join us at 6:40. He was great on Fox News this morning. But before we get to him and five other great guests, let's listen to some of the press conference from Joe Biden yesterday talking about the oil prices, the gas prices, and why, in fact, his climate control policies are not really making a difference when it comes to that. Here was Joe Biden yesterday.
Today, I'm announcing that the largest ever release from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve helped provide the supply we need as we recover from this pandemic. In addition, I brought together other nations to contribute to the solution. India, Japan, Republic of Korea, and the United Kingdom have agreed to release additional oil from their reserve, and China may do more as well. This coordinated action will help us deal with a lack of supply, which in turn helps ease prices. My effort to combat climate change is not raising the price of gas or increasing its availability. It's increasing the availability of jobs.
There you have it. Did you play number four there also? Okay. So it's going to increase jobs. We're not relying on anybody. We're good to go. When Joe Biden says something like, "Don't worry, folks, we're okay," it's almost like, "I'm too drunk to drive. Take the keys, Stevie Wonder." How's that going to go for you? So Donald Trump was on Sean Hannity last night, and Donald Trump talked about Joe Biden's cognitive abilities. And this next cut I'm going to play really shows you just how lost this guy is. He's reading from the teleprompter yesterday, the president, okay? And if you've never read from the tele before, they actually put words sometimes to announce anything from punctuation to where you quote, where you end a quote, but you're not supposed to read that stuff. And, of course, somebody who's a savvy veteran, whether you're an anchor on the news, a TV person, or even the president, of course, you would know that, or you would think the president would know that. Here yesterday, Joe Biden, during this press conference, actually reads the punctuation remarks on the teleprompter. You cannot make this up.
And by the way, you may have heard the CEO of Walmart yesterday on the steps we've taken. He said, and I quote,
"The
combination of private enterprise and government working together has been really successful." He went on to say, "All the way through the supply chain, there's a lot of innovation. Because of the actions we've taken, things have begun to change." End of quote.
End of quote. You can't make it up. So President Trump was on with Sean Hannity last night, and he spoke specifically about the cognitive ability, or less than, of Joe Biden.
All I can say is I know President Xi, I know Putin, I know Kim Jong-un, I know all the leaders of the world. I got to know them very well. Most of my like, many of my like, although tough cookies, they're all at the top of their game. We need somebody that's at the top of the game. And, you know, maybe you should, it should be mandated that you take like cognitive tests or something. But you can't have the head of China, the head of Russia, the head of these powerful nations being at the top of their game. Look at what's happening. Look how weak we look.
Wow. There's Donald Trump on Sean Hannity last night. He's right. We've got a bunch of that. We've got a whole bunch of audio for you today, as we always do, from Biden to Jen Psaki to Donald Trump. Dick Vitale, a very, very emotional return last night. ESPN, he's got cancer. We'll hear from Dick later on today. A bunch of movies that speak to Thanksgiving, which is coming your way tomorrow. So let me go right to you, Justin Ellick. I'm thankful for you. Matt Meany ran the board for this show for many years, dating back to the Jill Vitale days. And he has been promoted to program director. Congratulations, Matt. And you got the job of board op. Now, I'd worked with you before on Sid Sports Sunday. And, in fact, last year I did a six-hour show, a marathon, if you will, on Super Bowl Sunday. And you ran that whole show. So I knew firsthand before you worked with me and Bernie just how talented and good you were. And you've taken over, and we haven't missed a beat. You're that good. What are you most thankful for as Thanksgiving approaches tomorrow?
Well, now I'm obligated to say now that I am thankful for you.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Because you're not patronizing me because you aren't thankful for me. You and I specifically have
gotten close. I actually am. You've made this transition very, very easy for me.
Thank you.
You know, and we keep it loose, and you know, I attribute a lot of that that looseness and that relaxing kind of vibe that you bring to the success that we've had thus far as a team. But on another note, you know, I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for my youth at the moment, which will cease to exist at a certain point in time as I get older, naturally,
like
biologically.
Like me.
Exactly. But, you know, I hope that when I am your age, I do look as strappingly handsome as you
much.
Do.
You are too much.
How about that? You like that?
That's very, very good, Justin. Thank you. Luke, you got 30 seconds. Chime in. Luke, and tell everybody your last name and exactly what you do. We've become pretty close, too.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm Luke. Last name is Legrano. I know that took you a couple months, but we're here now. And I know it's going to sound like I'm blowing smoke, but I'm really thankful for being here. You know, this is my my first gig in radio, and between you and Bernie being the pros that you are, Justin and Mike, Abby and Steph, I laugh so much I forget I'm at work sometimes. So being here after the long road it took me to get here, I couldn't be more thankful for that.
Well, thank you for that. You're great, too. Your whole staff is great. We really put together a great staff, and certainly I look across the glass and I see Justin and Luke every morning, Mike Garcia to my left. Also, there's a lot for this show, so I'm thankful for you guys as well. I really am. We got five great guests today. I mentioned John Catsimatidis. I mentioned Frank Morano. My dear friend, famed defense attorney Joe Tacopina, live in studio at 8:40. He'll talk about the Rittenhouse verdict. He's also representing Kimberly Guilfoyle these days. 9:05 live in studio, the great fashion designer himself, another dear friend, the beautiful Joseph Aboud, and yes, back by popular demand. You wanted her, folks. You haven't left me alone for 2 months. You wanted her back so badly. You got her. My mother, Naomi Rosenberg. and open a can of whoop-ass on everybody.
This from creature in the White House.
That's right, Mom. Mom, Naomi Rosenberg, coming up at 8. Sister Sledge, we are family, as all of us get ready to get together with our Psycho family members. Coming up tomorrow on this Happy Thanksgiving pregame show, Bernie and Sid, sans Bernie, you've got me, Sid, and we got six great guests today. It's going to be really a momentous show, especially for the holiday season. And our first guest of the day is a guy that does a tremendous job on overnights. I worked with Steve Summers and Joe Beningo, but this guy is the overnight king. The Other Side of Midnight is the name of his show. He does that for about 4 hours. Then he hosts, alongside Juliet Huddy, the early news show from 5 to 6 before me and Bernie every morning. One of my best friends now in the business, a super guy, and soon to be a dad, Frank Morano. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Sid. Thanks for having me back. I was hoping to get my rematch with Bernie McGurk in the Beat Bernie contest, but I was happy I didn't lose that on Friday, so thank you for...
You did a good job. You went 5 for 5.
Moderating.
You went 5 for 5.
And I also wanted to stop by and congratulate you on the ratings for the month of September. You guys are killing it in the morning. I mean, every measurable way that you can measure your radio ratings, you guys are setting the world on fire. So
wow.
Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you for that. Certainly your lead-in helps. You do a tremendous job yourself and then with Juliet every night. I was saying, you know, John Katsimatidis is coming on to talk about the oil. Joe Tacopina is coming on to talk about the Rittenhouse verdict.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph Abood is coming on to talk about the supply chain issue with clothing.
Mm.
And I was trying to figure out...
lineup.
A pretty good lineup, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And my mother, of course, is coming on just to talk badly about people. But and I'm saying, why is Frank Morano coming on? And here's what I said. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Because I like him.
There you go. I'll take it.
I don't really have any other. I mean, we could talk about local political races where you're the best in the business. We could talk about national politics, but I just like you.
Wonderful.
Something
I like
about
you, too.
You, I don't know.
Ditto. Yeah, I you know, I find you're a guy that really gets the format of radio. Unfortunately, a lot of guys that are on the radio, not necessarily on this station, but on other talk
stations.
Well,
there are some on this station,
too. They don't really understand that this is a medium that's meant to entertain. That
first.
You're not here to proselytize and win converts and convert everybody into one way of thinking. It's a medium about entertainment, just like Broadway, just like movies, just like podcasting. It's supposed to be fun.
That's exactly right.
You get it.
Thank you. And so do you. And you're right. I mean, look, part of the beauty of the show is that we do opine an awful lot, Bernie more than me, but I never lost sight of that.
Sure.
And you look at the great shows, like Imus, for example, would do a ton of politics. I shouldn't even say a ton. He did some politics.
Well, towards the end, I guess he became more political, right?
More. But it was always about fun first, mm-hmm. right? And then Bernie would come out with his briefing for about 4 minutes, and Don would be like, all right, shut up, enough of that. And he would have cut him off 100 times this week on Kyle Rittenhouse. But those are the shows that really garner great success,
sure.
are the shows that put entertainment first before trying to convince everybody my way is the right way.
And you know what's so interesting about this medium of talk radio and your show in particular is that you're seeing what's happening in the world of entertainment and you see people being canceled for doing the same thing they've always been doing. Dave Chappelle has been telling racial jokes and gender jokes for 15, 20 years. Now people are quitting their jobs because he's telling racial and gender jokes. If you really want a non-PC, non-woke couple of hours of entertainment, talk radio is really the last game in town.
Can't argue. I was asked the other day if I enjoyed doing the TV stuff in the movies, and I've done very little, folks, very little. I've shot 5 scenes for Gravesend. I'm about to go to Los Angeles and shoot the movie, but I'm a novice. I'm brand new at this. And I said, I can't imagine even the small amount of scenes I've done for Gravesend, which has been a lot of fun, anything being better than this. This is the most intimate setting. What I love about this is this is the only medium that gives you the opportunity to really create it yourself, right? It's all theater of the mind. So you create it. TV, it's right there in front of you. Movies, it's in front of you. Our job here is to create something. You're on the side of the radio, you can't see it. And if you're good at that, and it actually comes across to the listener, That is the beauty of this. That's why radio is far and away, for me, the most intimate and best medium of all.
And you know what's so special about radio as well is people are listening to you right now, and they're scanning up and down their radio dial looking for something to keep their attention. When they listen to a podcast, you have to go and search out whatever podcast you're listening to. And there's one for everything. If you want a podcast geared towards libertarian vegan fans of The Sopranos that right. were born in 1981, there's a podcast for you. But radio is really the last place where people can sort of discover something that's going to hold their interest. These days, even television, they make it so that you pick what you want to watch on Netflix or on Amazon. You're making an affirmative decision. On radio, you have that joy still of discovering a new radio show. Now,
what's funny about radio, too, is I was told years ago when I made the decision to come back to New York, thanks to Chad Lopez, by the way, he's the guy that really made it happen. They said to me, wait a second, isn't AM radio going away? There was Howard Stern moving to Sirius XM because radio was going away. Your traditional talk radio was never going to survive. And here I am 22 years later in the same business, and Bernie and Sid are thriving, and you're doing great, and ABC is kicking ass. Doesn't seem like it's going away anytime soon. But you've heard this, Frank, as well, for years, that this is eventually going to go away, and I'm saying I don't see it.
I think the only thing that will hurt AM radio in the long term is ourselves. If we fail to keep putting on compelling content, that'll be the thing that hurts most. If you look at what's happening in the world of records, vinyl records, which were an antiquated technology.
Are they back?
They are back. They had their biggest year last year in 30 years, and next year is poised to be an even bigger year than this year.
Wow.
Broadway theater, they had right before the pandemic, they had their most profitable year ever. So the point is, there are these media which are easily replaced by other forms of technology that you don't need a vinyl record anymore, but people still like them. And I think radio, on the one hand, it scratches that nostalgia itch, but on the other hand, it has something that podcasts don't have, television doesn't have, the ability to be live, the ability to talk about driving content, tell people what's happening in their neighborhood. You can't do that on a podcast. Try listen to a podcast in a snowstorm when you have no power. See how far that gets you.
That's a great point. Frank Morano, the host of Other Side of Midnight, terrific overnight show here on WABC, and of course alongside Juliet Huddy, also hosts the early news before me and Bernie, which is a great hour of news talk, 5 to 6 every morning. So talking about politics and locally, we just went through the whole thing last month. Long Island went Republican. Vito Pacella, your new borough president. A lot of exciting things happening if you're a Republican. A little bit of a white flag if you're a Democrat. What is the biggest story today locally in this city when it comes to politics?
In this city, I think it is the fact that the council Republicans have almost doubled in size.
Is that right?
And they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the speaker's race. You know, on December 9th, the New York City Council is going to vote on whether non-citizens should be able to vote in local elections. Now, even Bill de Blasio yesterday came out and said, oh, I don't know if that's a good idea. The fact that you have basically seven Republicans, they call it five, but there's two others that are registered Democrats, but they're basically Republicans. Seven Republicans in this 51-member body, I think it goes to show that when you elect a moderate mayor like Eric Adams, and you see people voting for Republicans at the local level, even in New York City, a blue city in a blue state, there are some people that say, no, this has gone far enough. We need to go back a little bit in the other direction. So it's going to be interesting. Now, I do want to take advantage of your movie expertise, because you're a movie guy as
okay.
I am. Now, there's all these great Christmas movies, right?
And you have, although Bernie says there's only one, and that, of course, is Jimmy Stewart.
It's a Wonderful Life.
That's
right?
It. That's
well,
as
you
far
have
as
Miracle
it goes.
On 34th Street. Yeah, you have a whole bunch.
There's
right?
a whole bunch,
but
yes.
There's not
Elf.
As many great Thanksgiving movies.
No, no. In fact, it's funny you say that, because during the Christmas holiday, I have my guys, it'll be Alec this year, it's been Meanie in the past, go back and get audio from all these movies. Miracle on 34th Street, what's a Jimmy Stewart movie again?
It's a Wonderful Life.
Right, and even funny stuff like Elf, mm-hmm. Scrooge, all that stuff.
Babes in Toyland always was
right.
a big one.
So last night I go to Alec, I go, get me some Thanksgiving movie sound. Mm. And we found four. I already used the one from Dewey Cox. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles,
that's
maybe the
one,
most
yeah.
famous. And you have like two others, the Fockers.
Yeah, Little Fockers and Rocky.
And Rocky, that's it.
And Rocky, I don't know if you could really consider
no,
that.
No, you can't. It's a one scene where she's cutting up the bird, right. And Paulie walks in, he's pissed off about Rocky, and he throws the bird out.
So tonight, on the other side of midnight, we're going to make a list of the best Thanksgiving films of all time.
Not going to be easy.
It's not. But what's your one? If you had to pick, what would
well,
it be?
Well, it'll be Planes, Trains, Automobiles. When John Candy admits at the end of the movie that his wife's been dead for 8 years and he's got nowhere to go, and Steve Martin goes, come on in, and starts introducing him to his whole family, I start to cry.
Yeah, no, that is, that's certainly.
That's what it's all about, right?
And it's funny, and it does make you cry.
Yeah. What's yours?
I was trying to think about that. It might be Hannah and Her Three Sisters.
Oh, that is a great call.
I love Woody Allen fan.
Me
even
too.
Even though he was canceled, but we could say that on a
right.
show like this. There's also the Al Pacino film, Scent of a Woman, is a great Thanksgiving
right.
film as
that's
well.
That's right.
But it's few and far between. I spent a lot of time thinking about this morning. I came up with, at best, 10.
That's it.
And I am going to try and make a list if people want to watch a Thanksgiving film in between football games tomorrow with the family and everybody, want to give them some advice.
That's awesome. Three games tomorrow, of course, Bears and Lions, Raiders and Cowboys and Bills and Saints. Before we wrap this thing up, and of course, want you and your family to enjoy the healthiest and happiest of Thanksgivings, talk about being thankful. And I'll ask everybody the same question today. It's lame, but it's obligatory. You're about to be a dad. You got to be thankful for that.
100%. Thankful for my wife, Rachel, and our forthcoming child, which is due in December, December 6th.
And you know the sex of this baby,
no,
right?
We don't.
Oh, we don't.
It's going to be a surprise. I'm almost as thankful to our owner, John Catsimatidis, for the opportunity to have this job. This is, you know, as somebody that's been listening to radio my whole life and worked in radio for a long time in many different capacities, this privilege, the opportunity to be on this station overnight, is what I've dreamed of doing my entire life. People always ask me, oh, what do you want to do next? Nothing. I want to do this job forever, and I'm incredibly grateful to John and Margot Catsimatidis for giving me the opportunity. So if they're watching, if they're listening, big thank you to them, and happy Thanksgiving to you. I'm going to miss you for a couple days. I look forward to seeing you Monday.
Thank you. They're all watching and listening because John Catsimatidis is, in fact, coming up next. So
wonderful.
He definitely heard that. I think you're a tremendous talent. Listen, it's not easy for a radio guy like me. Bernie's different. Radio guy like me, I don't like throwing out compliments to other radio guys because I always think I'm the best. But I have to say that you're right there with me. I'm not going to say you're as good as me because that's just not going to happen. But you're right there. I mean, I really think the world of you on and off the air.
Well, so. Likewise. If people have Thanksgiving movie suggestions, by the way, tweet me at Frank Morano, Frank M-O-R-A-N-O.
Check him out also at Morano Vision on Instagram, right?
That's
all right.
Right.
Congratulations to you and Rachel. Happy Thanksgiving. Coming up next, the aforementioned boss, the owner, the man himself. He was on Fox News this morning explaining the whole oil situation and just how bad that press conference was for Joe Biden yesterday. The man, John Catsimatidis, on this Thanksgiving special is next. Folks, traffic and sports coming up next, but right now it is time for the 77 WABC clip of the day. I saw him in the street yesterday walking out of here, Curtis Sliwa, Saturdays at 2 p.m. and Sundays at 9 p.m. The next 2 days, in fact, him and Chris Hahn filling in for me and Bernard. Here Curtis talks about Kyle Rittenhouse.
But look, Rittenhouse is not a hero, but he's not a heel. He's somewhere in between. So let's not lionize him. And let's not vilify him. Let's just go back, as they say, as Warner Wolf would have said, to the videotape, right? And just look at the court testimony. What appeared in court? And why the jury unanimously, on all five counts, found him innocent?
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers on 77 WABC.
After their embarrassing loss in Tampa Bay to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers on Monday night, the Giants, now 3-7, about to host the Eagles as a 3.5-point underdog in New Jersey on Sunday, made a move yesterday. Joe Judge complained about the offense after the game Monday. Well, yesterday they fired offensive coordinator and former Dallas Cowboy head coach Jason Garrett. Here was Giant head coach Joe Judge.
I feel we have to be more productive as an offense. Generally speaking, the offensive job is to score points. I don't believe we're scoring enough points. And it's my job as the head coach to make sure I give our players an opportunity to go out there and make plays.
The Jets now 2-8 in Houston on Sunday. They're a 2.5-point underdog. Three games coming up tomorrow. The Bears at the Lions, the Raiders at the Cowboys, and the Bills at the Saints for your Thanksgiving entertainment. Knickerbockers got a win at Madison Square Garden last night. No LeBron James. He was suspended for the Lakers. And the Knicks got 26 from Evan Fournier. Big night by Julius Randle. A double-double, 20 points and 16 rebounds. They beat the Lakers 106-100. They improved to 10-8. The Nets right now atop the Eastern Conference at 13-5. They're in Boston tonight for the 10-8 Boston Celtics. And two hockey locals back on the ice tonight. The Devils taking on Minnesota and the Islanders at the new arena in Elmont, where the Islanders are 0-2. Tropic Galore coming up tonight. They're going to host the New York Rangers. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out today, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
Touch me in the morning, then just walk away. We don't have tomorrow, but we had yesterday.
On your Thanksgiving Eve, Bernie and Sid show. No Bernie today, but man, do I got you covered. Five great guests. Frank Morano was just terrific. So I walk in this morning, and Fox News is on inside our newsroom. And who do I see but John Catsimatidis? We're going to hear from you folks all day long what you're thankful for. Trust me when I tell you, I've been in this business a long time. Worked for Imus, did stuff for Howard Stern, hosted my own successful shows in 60 different states. Excuse me, cities, states, and a big, big success down in Miami. But no one has ever treated me with more dignity and respect and better than John and Margo Catsimatidis and Chad. So I'm incredibly grateful for him and thankful to him. He was on this morning talking about the biggest story of the day, which is President Biden is about to release 50 million gallons from our oil reserve. And the question is, why are we at this point? Who can answer it? Nobody better than John Catsimatidis. Good morning, John. Happy Thanksgiving, boss.
Good morning, Sid, and a happy Thanksgiving to all our staff and a happy Thanksgiving to all our listeners. Look, we're alive, and that is the most important thing. We're alive, and we have hope that Eric Adams does the great job for New York City and brings New York City back the greatest city in the world.
I believe that. I'm starting to believe that, too. You know, I wasn't a big fan, John, a couple of months ago, but he's saying all the right things the last couple of weeks, and I'm starting to have some of that belief that Eric may be the right guy. But let's get to this story. Biden is blaming everybody else, whether it's Donald Trump or OPEC, everybody else, for soaring gas prices. He now is about to release all these millions of barrels of oil. Why are we at this point? We were energy efficient right here. Donald Trump made sure that. Why are we at this point?
As said, you know, we're straightening out New York, now Washington. It is the biggest con game on the American people. They really believe the American people are dumb. And I think the American people are smarter than Washington takes them to be. You can tell from the elections November 3rd. And they're releasing 50 million barrels.
Yes.
Which is chump change. Don't forget, we were producing 13.5 million barrels a day. America, and we're down to 11.5 million barrels a day. Mm. We're down 2 million barrels a day. And who do we give that $2 million a barrels a day? We give it to Putin. And he's laughing all the way to the bank because we're not paying him $40 a barrel. We're paying him $80 a barrel.
Wow.
To buy it from Putin. We are giving it to OPEC. The Arabs are going to be buying new corporate supersonic jets with all the money we're giving them. We're making America poor, and we're making the OPEC nations rich again. I have nothing against them, but they're smarter than us right now. And we're making Putin smarter than us right now. And what happens? We went from 13.5 down to 11.5. Alaska and Canada have 100 years' worth of oil. The Alaska senator says, why aren't you buying it from Alaska? We have it. Why? The Canadian Consul General Ambassador says to me, why aren't we buying it from Canada? We have it. Why aren't we buying it from North America? Instead, we're buying it from Putin and OPEC, and we're transferring. You know what this is, said?
What is it?
It's a transfer of wealth from America to OPEC nations to Russia. And you know who's suffering the most? It's the poor and the lower middle class, because the people that can afford it don't give a damn.
Right.
It's the poor and the middle class that are paying double their price for their turkeys this year, for their Thanksgiving dinner this year, for their gasoline this year. It is a con game. And that 50 million barrels they're releasing, it's nothing. It's just, you know, I'll tell you what the Alaskan senator told us. I think we talked about it. Alaska has a 2 million barrel a day pipeline. Because of restrictions imposed by ourselves, by our own government, we're only sending 400,000 barrels a day down. What happens to the other 1,600,000 barrels? All we have to do is fix the Alaska problem, and we got all the oil in the world, and we can make North America richer instead of transferring the wealth over to Europe and OPEC and Russia. And it is the greatest. They are conning the American people. There's no other way to say it. I tell you, I got tears in my eyes when I think about
it. I'm sure.
And the people that know about it realize that. And I hope the average American person that goes to the gas pump, that goes to the supermarkets, they realize when Washington is saying that we're only going to tax the corporate and we're only going to tax the rich. That's a lot of BS. They are taxing when the prices of oil, clothing, food goes up, the amount it's going up. It's a tax on the poor and the lower middle class, which is a sin. It's a sin, and there's no other way to do it. That not only that said, and we talked about it before, they're forcing the automobile companies to go to electric cars.
Right.
90% of the batteries for those electric cars are made by China.
Yep. Yep.
So our wealth is going to be transferred not only to overseas on our right-hand side to Russia and OPEC. It's going to be transferred to China. And China needed lithium for the batteries, so we gave them Afghanistan all the lithium in the world. And I understand in the New York Times and New York Post this week, Hunter Biden also made a deal for cobalt, and the Chinese company bought cobalt, and in Australia, and the transfer of wealth from America to other countries is happening at, well, how did our old president say, at warp speed?
yeah, listen.
It's crazy. It's really crazy. Nuts.
It is. And I don't profess to be nearly as smart as you, John, or even my partner, Bernard, when he's here. But I'm a pretty smart guy, and I've tried to figure this out for months and months. Why would you shut down the pipelines here when we could produce our own stuff? Why would you have to rely on other countries? Why would you do what you're talking about, John, make other countries wealthier where it actually affects us and we get poorer? I am trying really hard to figure out why this president, why this administration, is it as easy as, like Bernie says, they hate this country? I can't believe it's that easy. What is their motivation?
There's got to be something more to it than that. In the old days we used to say 2 + 2 = 4.
Right.
Why are we transferring our wealth to China? Why are we transferring our wealth to OPEC and to there's got to be something wrong. And I asked him, I'm not going to make accusations on the air. I asked the American people, 2 + 2 = 4. You figure it out. And I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. And it is horrible. our U.S. senators, our Democratic U.S. senators that have common sense, I rely on them to put their foot down and say enough is enough. When they're going to stop doing that. America has the oil. Let's use it. Canada has it. Alaska has it. Let's use it. And the other thing is the killing of the American people. COVID, someday we're going to find out what happened. Now, last week, the FDA went to the federal government, said,
yep,
and said, we want to lock up the files for 55 years.
Yeah, it seemed like a very long time, 55 years. And I know that the latest...
Everybody living today won't find out about it. Who killed Kennedy? It's the same thing. 55 years is a long time.
Yes.
And what's going on our borders between the Chinese gangs putting the fentanyl with the Mexican gangs? They're moving it up to the United States. They're killing our people. The last time I talked to you was 93,000 people. 93,000 Americans have died from the fentanyl-laced drugs coming up from the Mexican border. The number is up to 100,000, Sid. You know, I talk plain and simple for everybody to understand it. 100,000 Americans have died from the drugs coming up from the Mexican border. Immigration... I believe in immigration. I'm an immigrant, as I said.
Yep.
I believe in immigration. But there's such a thing as immigration, not invasion. Let's put those words in perspective. Immigration, not invasion, because these people are just coming over the border. Now, the thing we did last night said we need a little bit of humor. The $450,000 we're going to be giving, away to these immigrants crossing the border illegally. I said to everybody, is that taxable? Are we going to deduct tax on that? Are they going to pay Social Security on the $450,000? Or we're just going to write them a check for $450,000? So they come over the border, collect their $450,000 per person.
Yeah.
They go back to Mexico and they build villas.
It's not a bad deal.
Yeah, you have to laugh a little bit because it is sick what's going on.
Yeah, it is. It's scary, it's sick, and it doesn't seem like there's going to be any healing or any right anytime soon. But John Catsimatidis, what we have to find a way to do, and believe me, I've learned a lot of this from you and your beautiful wife, Margot, is put it aside for a day, because when we all sit down tomorrow with our family members and enjoy our Thanksgiving dinner, with all this stuff going on, and some of it is really bad, like you just mentioned, we all have a lot to be thankful for.
Well, we're all alive, and in spite of the COVID crisis, that we're not going to find out in 55 years what the heck really happened.
Plus, also, they also come out and said that Pfizer. They also said that Pfizer today that these shots may also come back and haunt us later. That people are getting very sick and dying from the actual vaccinations. That was today's report.
Well, there's side effects. There's side effects that they're not publishing, and they're going to hide them for 55 years. And look at the side effect on me. I had my booster shot a few weeks ago. It causes internal bleeding.
Oh, boy.
And it goes to the weakest spot. And Sid, you know, I had blood in my eye, and I had a hard time walking around until the blood dissipates from the eye.
Yep.
And it's just someday... I hope we live long enough to find out. Either that, we get people in Washington. We need people in Washington that care more about the American people. They care about the American people that are poor. Do I believe in helping people? When I ran for mayor, I ran as not only a Republican, you know, and I was a lifelong Democrat like you, but I ran as a liberal.
Yep.
The Liberal Party. Why? The Liberal Party, what we do is take care of the poor in America, take care of the kids in Harlem, take care of the kids in Bedford-Stuyvesant. Let's take care of our poor before we worry about taking care of all Africa and all of South America. Look, I care about those people, but let's take care of them where they are. And it's a day of Thanksgiving. We're all going to be praying, and we're all going to be thankful for being alive and enjoying our Thanksgiving. But the American people have to come through a reality check. And don't forget, 2 + 2 = 4. Why are we helping China? Why are we helping Russia? I'll let the American people, if they think long enough, they'll realize why we're helping China and why we're helping Russia and the OPEC nations. What's the old expression? Follow the money.
Follow the money. Yep, that's true. Follow the money.
Okay.
Yep, no doubt. Hey, listen, this was a great, not good, a great appearance. Thank you for hopping on this morning. Enjoy a happy and a healthy Thanksgiving. I tell you all the time, John.
I
love you.
I look forward to lighting the menorah with you on December
7th. Me too.
Tallest menorah in the world. But it's already getting cold, Sid. Do you remember how cold it was last year when we lit the menorah?
It was
My
brutal.
My nose was ready for the fall off.
It was brutal. It's probably going to be cold next week, too.
59 feet up. It gets even colder.
No, it's cold, but I can't wait to do it again next week. Have a happy Thanksgiving, John. I love you a lot, pal. Thank you so much.
Happy
this was great.
And happy birthday to you, Gabe.
Oh, thank you, John. Thank you. How about that? What a super guy. My God, what a great guy. Wishing my son Gabriel a happy 13th birthday today. John was there with his beautiful wife Margot at the bar mitzvah a couple of weeks ago. And yes, we will light the world's largest menorah together. It's become tradition. It'll be our second consecutive year doing it, me and John Catsimatidis, coming up on 59th and 5th next Thursday, December the 2nd. What a great appearance. Thank you to John. You can check John out every weekday afternoon at 5 o'clock and every Sunday morning at 8:30. What a great hour number one. Lots more to come, including Joe Tacopina, Joseph Aboud, Peter King, Jack Cittarelli, and yes, you wanted her, you got her, Naomi Rosenberg.
Estelle, what are you doing here? You said you were going home. What are you doing here?
I don't have a home. Marie's been dead for 8 years.
Boy, you are one lucky guy, Neil. I won't stay long or anything. Maybe I'll just come in and say hi, and then I'll be on my way, all right?
Just come on.
Kiddo.
Daddy! Daddy!
Del Griffith, I want you to meet my father-in-law, Walt.
My mother-in-law, Peg.
Hi.
My mother, Joy.
Well, my dad, Mark.
Glad to see you.
How you doing?
Welcome, Bill.
Hello, guys. Neil Jr.
Hello,
my little Jim, Marty. And somewhere around here is my little baby boy, Seth.
Oh.
Yeah, one of the few Thanksgiving movies we can find. We did play Dewey Cox at the top. That was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which is a great comedy starring John Candy, the late great John Candy, and Steve Martin. And they spent a whole movie together, and you find out at the very end that he doesn't have a wife, he has nowhere to go. And as you heard there, Steve Martin invites him into his house for Thanksgiving dinner. And it's a very, very emotional scene, and that's what it's all about. So I suggest and recommend that if you're in the New York City area today and you're walking down the street, Corey Zelnick, for example, who was with Michael Rappaport last night, I have no idea how he did that, grab a homeless guy and take him home. All those folks on the Upper West Side that I live with that are so concerned about the homeless people, pick one up and take them home. John Candy wasn't homeless in that movie, but he needed a place to go, and Steve Martin provided that. So, Alec, are you having dinner with your parents tomorrow? What's your Thanksgiving
about? I got the whole gang. I got, I'm going home to not Chappaqua anymore. My parents moved to South Salem, which is south of North Salem.
Yeah, makes sense. Now, where is that exactly?
That's
how far is that from Chappaqua?
20 minutes.
Yeah. You grew up in the same neighborhood as Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And you saw Bill Clinton around town, didn't you?
Yeah, I used to do testy things in their cul-de-sac.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Why not?
So, how many people will be at the dinner table tomorrow for you?
Oh, it'll be a good bunch. I got. It's going to be me, my parents, my grandparents, and then I'll have my girlfriend and her parents.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Well, how does that happen? You guys aren't even engaged.
No.
But you're already your parents are already friends. The homeless.
We've been dating for it's been over 3 years now.
So why don't you ask her to marry you? At least get engaged.
Because I'm 25 years old.
Are you going to be with somebody else?
No, not at
all. All right. So whether you're 25, 35, or 45, is this the girl you envision?
Yeah, but it's not. It's more than that. You got to be financially stable, stuff. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it.
Put a ring on her finger and then marry her in 10 years, but at least let people know that she's taken.
Like a promise ring?
Yes.
I don't need that to let people know that she's taken.
Okay. Well, you know how these girls are. They get very fickle. One day it's no problem. I don't need anything formal. I love you. I'll be with you forever. And they wake up the next morning with a hair up there, whatever. And all of a sudden it's like, well, you need to. I need some type of commitment. It just happens.
Well,
and
you
she's
going
to wake up one morning and be like, what am I doing? This is now 4 years with this guy. And then you're going to run the risk of losing her.
Well, I'll cross that bridge when I get there.
Okay.
I'm very good at last lunges for hope, promise.
We're all good at that. We're all good at that until she says goodbye. Mike Garcia, happy Thanksgiving. How are you, pal?
Happy Thanksgiving.
What are you thankful for on this day?
I am thankful for actually being here, you and Matt and John Katsimatidis for even giving me this opportunity to doing what I love.
You want to add Bernie in there at some point.
Of course.
Right.
Considering that he loves MMA and you don't.
Right. That's what you guys have in common. You're a terrific worker, by the way. You're a great, great addition to this show. You come in every morning enthusiastic. I mean this sincerely. And looking to help me as early as 5 o'clock in the morning. So thank you for that. So I'm thankful for you. And I think you've got a huge career ahead of you. I know you do the podcast. What is that podcast called again?
Outside the Comics Volume 2. Volume is spelled V-O-L.
And then what is this? Is it about MMA or do you go into a whole bunch of other things as well?
No, this podcast is mostly based on comic book movies and TV shows. But what's different with me is I look at the other perspective.
Like what? Give me an example.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to get
if you can't explain your own podcast, we're in big trouble here, Mike. I don't know what to tell you. Give me an example of what you would talk about like today. Batman? What?
I'll give you a perfect example. Spider-Man No Way Home is coming out next month. So
right. My son's excited about that. He's 13, but go ahead.
All right, then he needs to be on my show.
Gabriel?
Absolutely. I would gladly have him on.
He's great. Today's his 13th birthday. I'll tell him about that. So you'll talk about that movie, for example. That's part of your podcast.
Absolutely. And what's different with me is I actually look at everything else of what can lead up to it and maybe what can happen after, especially with the whole crossover events of what happens with the universe, the metaverse, as they call it.
Right. Way too much information. By the way, thank you for your service.
No, thank you for your support. I humbly appreciate it.
You're welcome. I love all you guys. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. That's the number. What are you thankful for? Bernie and Sid show. Bernie is out today. Sid, I'm with you. Great first hour. Both Frank Morano and John Katsimatidis were great. And we got two big guests coming up this hour. Coming up in about 15 minutes, he shocked the world and nearly won the gubernatorial race in the state of New Jersey. Came up just short to Phil Murphy. That's our good friend Jack Cittarelli. He'll join us at 7:25. And then, live from the state of North Carolina, the great Congressman Peter King. So you get Cittarelli and King this hour. Next hour, my mother's back. You guys are clamoring for the return of Naomi. You got her. She's here at 8:07. Then, dear friend and famed defense attorney Joe Tacopina talking Rittenhouse, live in studio at 8:40, I should say. And then the brilliant fashion designer, also a dear friend, a beautiful man, Joseph Aboud, coming up at 9:05. So a great guest list. Here is Angela. She's in New Jersey. She's on line one. Good morning, Angela.
Hello, Sid. How are you?
How are you, sweetheart?
Very good. I am most thankful for my upbringing in Brooklyn.
Where in Brooklyn?
I graduated Fompon in 1985, same year as you.
I know many
of the people you speak about. I grew up in Diker Heights. My dad, I'm most thankful for my parents for what they did for us. My father was a New York City firefighter. He worked two other jobs. My mother worked at the Guild for Exceptional Children.
Wow.
And they worked to send us to good schools. My sisters and I went to Fompon, and my two brothers went to Zavarian. And I mean, down to my dad would keep the heat at 60 degrees to pay the bills and to save and make sure we got a good education. And I'd give anything to to be in Bay Ridge tonight because the night before Thanksgiving at Fitzpatrick's and Hobnails and all those great bars was the best.
I was there quite a bit on 3rd Avenue, Hobnails and Wavelengths and Short, all those places. Now you know all of my Polly Prep fans, then you're saying, right?
Yes. My husband actually... We met in college, even though he went to Zavarian, and we started, talking in wavelengths. And he asked me out to a Yankee game. He played for Rockne football.
Wow.
I believe he played. Yes, I know all the people that you mentioned. Oh, here's a fun fact. Probably the first dollar I ever earned was with Maria Bartiromo and I. Got hired to be roller skating guards for an ice cream parlor in a parking lot.
And you know what's funny about Maria is one of my best friends at Polly, and you know my best friend, Joe Tacopina, he's on today, Danny Fogliano, I mentioned all these names, but a kid named Gary Hanna, and Gary's father, Al Hanna, owned Pastels, which was a hugely successful dance club in Bay Ridge in Brooklyn. Gary's brother was portrayed by Matthew McConaughey in the movie Wolf of Wall Street. He was the guy that he initially meets Leonardo to learn about Wall Street. Anyway, long story short, Gary dated and was engaged to Maria Bartiromo.
Yes, I know that. And my husband would, if you ask their football coaches, they were competitive in football.
Got it.
And yes, the coaches, my husband was better. Unfortunately, he got diagnosed with MS at the age of 38.
Oh, sorry.
But he did very well. He was an attorney and worked on Wall Street. So fortunately, we're doing fine.
Good.
Live in New Jersey now.
Well, we're in Jersey, quickly.
I teach at Livingston. We bought our first house in Chatham recently.
Beautiful.
In Madison.
Beautiful neighborhood.
Yep.
Well, happy Thanksgiving. Nice to hear from you. The girls at Font Bond, I kind of joked around about it when I saw you on hold, and I said something that was pretty derogatory, but cute. And then Luke, my call screener, goes, "Hey, my sister went to Font Bond." I said, "Trust me, I know." Angela, thank you for calling in today. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye, sweetheart. Take care. Jim is in Brooklyn. He's on line three, like Mike Garcia. Also, thank you for your service serving in Vietnam. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm very thankful for so many things. Your station, one of them, I enjoy every minute of your show.
Thanks, man.
For my three daughters and their health, my five grandkids, two of my daughters are special education teachers, and the things that they put up with in the poorest neighborhoods of our city. So appreciative of them. But I'm also thankful for our brave troops all around the world who will not be with their families tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, think about them. In 1969, I was in the jungles of Vietnam, and they brought us in our Thanksgiving meal, which consisted of Sputniks. And every veteran out there knows what a Sputnik is. It's a piece of chopped meat with onions sticking out of them. And we proceeded to bounce them off the helicopters that brought them to us. So it's... Just remember those guys, and maybe if you know someone who has nobody, reach out to them. These holidays are tough on people that have no one.
Yeah.
Some people in our American Legion are like that, and we take care of them.
Jim, thank you. You're a wonderful guy. I met you many times, and a terrific caller. And again, thank you for your service, and happy Thanksgiving. Anthony is in New Jersey. He's on line one. Good morning, Tony. How are you, pal?
Good morning, guys. I'm thankful for the best radio duo on radio. That would be Bernie and Sid.
Thank you.
You guys make my morning. I listen to you constantly. I love you guys. I wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
And, Sid, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Were you on the Sports Guys back when
I was the I was the original Sports Guys host. What happened was, quick story, Anthony, I was doing a show in Florida with a guy named Scott Kaplan. And we got traded, literally, up to WNEW when that was the number one station in New York, when they had Opie and Anthony and the Radio Chick and Ron and Fez and Don and Mike. So me and Scott took over mornings. They fired Scott, and they came to me, Jeremy Coleman, who's at Sirius XM, and he said, "Who do you want to work with?" I said, "I don't know." So they tried out John Riggins. They tried out Jay Glazer. All disasters. And eventually... I saw Craig Carton's resume on his desk. I had worked with Craig the year before in Fort Lauderdale at Sportsline, and I said, "This guy's pretty good. Give him a shot." And because of me, Craig got the shot, and I worked with Craig Carton at WNEW. The rest is history.
And there's a reason why I'm asking, because I have an original WNEW Sports Guys t-shirt that was given to me when I called up one day, and I was like, yeah, you know, you guys are the best show ever.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, but I'm pretty positive it was you that said, I'm going to send you a t-shirt, and I still have that
t-shirt. It was definitely me. It wasn't Scott. And by the way, we were the worst show ever, but 21 years later, this show's a heck of a lot better. But thank you, Anthony. Thank you for that memory. Yes, WNEW, my first morning show in New York. And after they didn't bring me back, because of Craig, I ended up going over to a place called WFAN.
So basically, all of Craig Carton's success could be attributed to you.
Oh, 100%. Seriously, I was part of the reason why he got the job in Fort Lauderdale. I was the reason why he got the job at WNEW. And then because I'm such an F-up, and I didn't get Imus's job when he retired, Craig got that job too. So 100%, Craig owes his whole career to me.
And he didn't one of many. One of many.
One of many, that's right. Anyway, we got two great guests coming up next. Anthony, Mikey, Diane, Mark, Carol. We'll get to all of you. What are you thankful for on this big pre-Thanksgiving Bernie and Sid show? But Jack Cittarelli and Congressman Peter King are coming up as well. Keep it right here, folks. Happy Thanksgiving from your boys, Bernie and Sid.
Oh, it's the same thing. Can't you see? We've got everything going on, on, on. You're my peace of mind in this crazy world. You're everything I've tried to find. Your love is a pearl. You're my Mona Lisa. You're my rainbow skies. And my only prayer is that you realize always be beautiful.
You can't make it up. I was actually choking. I still am. Doing the Life Back commercial. You can't make it up. I got a poppy seed stuck in my throat from the everything bagel with the egg whites. Anyway, we've had two great guests already on today, Frank Morano and John Catsimatidis. This is the Bernie and Sid pre-Thanksgiving show. No Bernie today. He's out. But what a guest list we've got. We've got Peter King, we've got Joe Tacopina, we've got Joseph Abood, we've got my mother making her return. But our next guest is a guy that really did an amazing job in the state of New Jersey, came very, very close to winning the governor race, which many thought was impossible. But he came close because he ran a great campaign. He is a terrific guy, and hopefully he's going to tell us he's not done yet. Here he is, my new friend Jack Cittarelli. Jack, good morning, pal. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Sid. Great to be with you again, man.
Nice to have you, too. And I have to tell you, talking to Jack Manzo yesterday, and I mean this, I get texts all the time. Please tell me Cittarelli's not finished. Please tell me he's going to do something soon. So with that said, Jack, after your really good display against Murphy, what's coming up next?
Well, we're going to continue to celebrate the wins on Election Day, Sid. While I was not successful in my run, we had a historic day for Republicans in New Jersey, the best day in 30 years. We picked up seats in the legislature. We picked up county positions in counties in which we haven't won in years. We picked up a lot of local wins. So I'm out there celebrating. In fact, was in Atlantic County and Cumberland County last night, celebrating some of the wins. And we're going to continue to do that from now till year end. And then come early next year, we'll begin to focus on the one area in which I really got my butt kicked, and that's the vote by mail ballots. Republicans need to do a better job there if we're going to compete on a statewide basis.
I agree, but did you trust that the vote-by-mail ballots were okay? I mean, you're not. I didn't hear at any point, for example, you saying, oh, my God, if it comes down to this, based upon what happened in the presidential election, for example, with Trump and Biden, I'm really screwed. You never said anything like that, did you?
No, I did not, Sid. And here in New Jersey, we've got a very unique voter election system that I do trust. And listen, I had attorneys all throughout the state in the aftermath of the election looking into every reported allegation of impropriety and fraud. It just is not widespread or systemic. It just isn't. And just because we get our butts kicked doesn't mean that there's fraud or irregularity. We just need to do a better job in getting more Republicans to vote by mail. And
right.
When we do that, we'll win.
We didn't get your butt kicked. You actually, again, at the sake of repetition, did an amazing job and came very close to winning that state, which is incredibly difficult for a guy in your spot. So that says a lot about you. It's a testament to your campaign that you ran there, Jack. And you talked about all the seats that switched. So tell me, what does that mean for the future, in your estimation, for New Jersey?
It means that New Jersey is not the blue state that everybody believes it is. And I've never believed that. History has taught us that it is not. A great many Democrats will vote Republican because they're sensitive to things like property taxes, something Phil Murphy doesn't want to fix. And the majority party in our state are the 2.4 million unaffiliated independent voters that lean right. So this is not a blue state. And we prove that. But listen, I beat him on the machines by close to 200,000 votes, Sid. He beat me through the mail by 60,000, by 260,000 votes. And therein lies his 60,000 vote margin. So, again, I'm sorry to be repetitive, but Republicans need to do a better job of voting through the mail. And that's one thing I'm going to work on with Republican organizations over the course of the next couple of years.
Yeah, why is that? Why is, if you had to come up with a reason why Republicans don't do a good job voting by mail, I mean, if they're enthusiastic about a candidate, as they were for you, as they should have been, you would think they would do anything to get their vote out there. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, one would think, but the Democrats are the ones that put in all these reforms, like early voting, 9 days of early voting, vote by mail ballots being mailed out even before the first debate. And I called attention to all this in my concession speech, and the press has been very kind in saying, you know what, Cetarelli's right. There's things we need to change here. We shouldn't be having debates after the vote by mail ballots being mailed out and sent in. We should count the vote by mail ballots earlier so we're not waiting painfully throughout election night and into the 10 days after the election as to the final results. So there are some reforms that we need here. But Democrats are the ones that put these reforms in place. They promoted them to their own party members, and their party members have embraced them. And I don't think it's good for Republicans if we've got prominent Republicans out there that are saying, don't vote by mail. Vote by mail is here to stay, Sid. It's not going anywhere.
No, that's true. Jack Cetarelli, who just did an amazing job in a very tight loss to Phil Murphy in the state of New Jersey. He was on this show quite a bit because we hopped on the Cetarelli bandwagon from day one, and a lot of New Jersey people got to know that he was the right guy for the choice. Have you talked, outside the concession speech and maybe his victory speech that night, have you talked to Phil Murphy since?
Well, I certainly called him before my concession speech two Fridays ago, and he was very gracious in taking the call. And as I said in my concession speech, I want him to be successful. I'm not one of these people who wishes ill will on the president or the governor or the mayor because they might be the opposing party. The competition's over now. We want him to be successful. But as I also said, I'm not very confident that he's going to address the issues that made my campaign so successful.
And what were those, again, quickly, just going back to that, give me the two or three things that you think New Jersey needs to fix right away.
Right away, the property tax crisis, Sid. We've got to fix it. Number two, this is the worst state in the country in which to do business. It is overtaxed. It's overregulated. And number three, a bloated, inefficient state government that is just not responsive to citizens. Try and get somebody on the phone in any department in state government. It's frustrating, it's painful, it's wrong. Those are the top three issues.
And those are big. Well, I would imagine, Jack, again, based upon your success, even in loss, that you have to be enthusiastic about your future in politics. So will there be another run for governor next time for Jack Cetarelli?
Well, Sid, after my concession speech, that's the first question I was asked by the press and said, listen, here's my plan. I'm running for governor in 4 years.
There you go.
I'm very passionate about the state. I think the campaign resonated with a whole lot of people. It was a photo finish. So we're right where we need to be to position ourselves for 4 years from now. Don't get me wrong. I was in it to win it. This wasn't about the future, this race. This race was about winning here and now. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case for my campaign. But we're not going anywhere, and my plan is to still fix New Jersey.
And you will win next time. I'm guaranteeing that. So, Jack Cetarelli, outside your close race, which I know you're thankful for to the people of New Jersey, day before Thanksgiving, what are you most thankful for?
Certainly my wife and four children who are just magnificent and inspire me and bring great beauty to my life in every way, Sid. And want to wish all your listeners a very happy Thanksgiving. Listen, this campaign was successful because you and Bernie gave me airtime, as did many radio hosts around the state. I believe in radio. And it helped make the campaign successful. So I'm thankful to the both of you as well for all the airtime.
That's very sweet of you to say, but your campaign was successful because you are the right guy for the job. But thank you for all that. Thank you for stopping by today. Wish you and your family a very healthy and happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk again soon, and you'll be governor in 4 years. I guarantee you that. Thank you, Jack.
Well, I love your spirit, Sid. Happy Thanks. Thanksgiving to you and your listeners. Thanks again.
Thank you, buddy. There he is, Jack Cittarelli. Just did an amazing job in that race for governor in the state of New Jersey. The wrong guy won, Phil Murphy, but Jack ain't done yet. Jack ain't done, baby. Jack gonna climb that beanstalk one day and kick the Giants' ass. Songs. I can't tell you why. 7:46, Thanksgiving Eve. Bernie and Sid, no Bernie today. Been a great show already. John Catsimatidis, Frank Morano, Jack Cittarelli, still to come. Joe Tacopina in studio, Joseph Abood in studio, and my mother making her second appearance. You want it or you got her. Naomi Rosenberg coming up at 8:07. But our next guest is here every Wednesday morning at this time. Why? Because he's great. The great congressman out of Long Island and dear friend of both of ours, Peter King, live from the state of North Carolina. Good morning, Mr. King.
Good morning, Sid. Happy Thanksgiving to you and everyone there. Yeah, I'm down here in North Carolina visiting my daughter and right outside of Charlotte in a place called Waxhaw, which I think half the people here are from New York. It's my daughter is neighbor. She has Orthodox Jews from Rockland County. She has Indian immigrants who lived in New York. She has Irish and Italian people. You never know you're down south. It's all immigrants from New York coming down.
That's funny. And you know, of course, you've had the conversation with my wife, Danielle, that she lived in Charlotte for 15 years.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah, so we know that area very, very well. It's beautiful there. And I know you got grandkids and the whole thing. So we'll get to the Thanksgiving part of the conversation at the end of this. But let's go right to the Rittenhouse verdict. It seems, Peter, like despite the acquittal, despite all the evidence, which undoubtedly points to self-defense, the media just won't accept this decision. Why is that?
Well, the verdict was clear that he was innocent, mainly because the media, first of all, the media has been a disgrace, and so have a lot of politicians been disgraceful on this. Whether you like Rittenhouse or not, the fact is that from the start he was smeared, he was slandered, he was libeled. I mean, they made him out to a white supremacist, a guy who was walking through the streets of Wisconsin trying to just kill people with his AR-15. And the fact is it was none of that. But they kept saying it over and over and over again, including the president of the United States. And that, once they got into it, that was their narrative. They couldn't break loose. It didn't matter what the jury said. The jury found him innocent. That meant the jury was biased. I mean, this is the world we're in today. And he was clearly innocent. And, this wasn't a technicality. It wasn't like, the police didn't get a proper warrant or somebody changed their testimony. This was out and out by every account, even by the prosecution's own witness. It was self-defense. And that's it. Now, you may agree or disagree with whether or not there should be a self-defense statute. But the fact is that under the law, he was clearly innocent. And that, to me, they should accept it and go on, but they won't. And whether it's people like Joy Reid or any of the others, Don Lemon, they go on. It's just they are the ones who are so much responsible for the racial discord in the country today, just to make everything a racial issue. You have Rittenhouse, who was accused of shooting three white people. That meant he's a racist.
And not just white people, by the way, but one of them was a child molester. Not that they deserve to die at his hands. That's not his job. But these are some pretty awful people, Peter.
Absolutely. They really are. And to me, we have a jury system. It's not always perfect. Sometimes there's verdicts you don't agree with. But in this case, whether you agreed with Rittenhouse or not, the fact is the case clearly showed he was innocent. This wasn't some technicality. It wasn't some, his lawyers did a good job, but it wasn't any trickery by the lawyers. It wasn't any great orations. They just brought out the evidence, and they kept their composure. And but the ones who, I would say the media, and also the prosecutors here, I mean, they wanted to make this kid a trophy. They wanted to show that they were standing up for what's right. And they really, I think, hurt themselves. They hurt the legal system.
Peter, let's talk about the biggest story of the day, and this is why John Catsimatidis was on this show about an hour ago. President Joe Biden releasing about 50 million gallons of oil. And we know, of course, that we were energy efficient right here under Donald Trump, didn't rely on any other country for any of this. Here comes Biden, shuts down the pipelines, and now all of a sudden we're hitting up our oil reserves because we have gas lines and gas prices skyrocketing. What a mess. Did you see this press conference yesterday, and what did you think?
This is all a self-inflicted wound. I mean, first thing he did was shut down the Keystone Pipeline, which kept the oil from Canada coming into the U.S. Then he approved the Russian pipeline in Europe. I mean, going after the oil industry the way they are. This was Joe Biden himself was the direct cause of the oil shortages we have. And you're right, we were energy independent, totally. For the first time in I don't know how many generations, President Trump had made us energy independent. He's also stopped the drilling in Alaska. I mean, this is just on federal lands. This is madness. I remember I was actually on, I guess it was Katz at night, the first day that this was announced, that Joe Biden issued the executive order shutting down Keystone. And John, whose mind is certainly geared toward this, within seconds was telling us what this was going to do to the price of oil and gas and what that was going to do to prices on the market. So, no, and you know, the 50 million barrels, I mean, that's like a four-day supply of oil to the U.S. So this is no, it's totally self-inflicted. By the way, if I could just tell you one story. The other night, I was the guest speaker at the fire chiefs of New York. They had it down the stock exchange. It's a big dinner. And they had 34 new chiefs being installed. I was the guest speaker. I got up there. I thought I gave an absolutely brilliant speech. Then I opened up for questions. The first two questions, what are Bernie and Sid really like?
Oh, come on.
Guys, are they funny? I swear to God, I'm up here. I'm a great congressman. Talk to me. All they wanted to hear about was Bernie and Sid. So I don't know. I'm trying to have second thoughts about being on your show.
That's funny.
I could caddy for Bernie and Sid. You know?
Well, you know, caddy to anybody, but that's it's good to hear that we're associated like that. I will tell you, that may have been not great, but you must have taken a victory lap a couple days ago when Nicole Malliotakis came out and said, President Trump is good with me. We had a great conversation because Bernie is pretty smart, and a lot of the time, not all the time, a lot of the time he's right, but you kicked his ass on this show 2 weeks ago, and Nicole Malliotakis came out and said, look, even President Trump is with me. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm glad he did that. I mean, first of all, Nicole is a great member of Congress. I mean, I knew her when she was in the Assembly, when she ran for mayor. I remember meeting her at the 2012 Republican Convention down in Florida. Now, she's a real fighter for Staten Island, and she voted the way she thought was the best for her district, but she's still a solid, strong conservative and a strong supporter of President Trump. So I'm glad they worked out their differences. And, we have to go forward from here. We have to stand united. We can't be fighting with ourselves. If we stay united, Republicans are going to win 70 or 80 seats in next year's election. It'll be one of the biggest landslides in history if we stay united and don't be going after each other. After the election, then we can formulate more specific policies. And there's always going to be some differences, but we agree on 90%. I say we, Republicans, agree on 90% of the issues, and that's what we got to do. And by the way, I was listening to Jack Cittarelli before, and he's right. We do have to do a much better job with the write-in ballots. I'm not a big fan of them. I don't like them. But they're going to be here, so we got to use it. We got to win.
Yeah, especially the Republicans. That was his point. Peter King here, the great congressman down in North Carolina. All right, Peter, so here we are the day before Thanksgiving. You're there with your beautiful daughter and your beautiful wife about to enjoy the holiday. What are you most thankful for the day before Thanksgiving?
Yeah, mainly for that. My wife, Rosemary, my son, Sean, my daughter, Erin, my grandchildren, Jack and Katie May, are all healthy. That, to me, is the most important thing. When, anything on top of that is just the icing on the cake. They're all healthy. They're all doing fine. Everyone's basically at a good place in life. So that, to me, means everything. And plus, being an American, living in the greatest country in the world, and also, not to kid around about it, being part of the WABC team with John Catsimatidis, you, Bernie. It's just a great – listen – growing up, whoever thought I'd end up here. This is great. This is the greatest place in the world. It really is.
Well, you deserve it. Four decades as a great congressman. We're thankful for you. We love the fact you're on this show every week and a dear, dear friend of ours. And you and Rosemary, your whole family, we love you. So enjoy your Thanksgiving Day holiday. Thank you for hopping on today. All the very best. And we'll talk to you again next week, Peter King. Happy Thanksgiving, pal.
Great shit. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, buddy. There he is, the great Congressman Peter King on this show every Wednesday morning at 7:40. That's a good man right there, Justin Alec. That's a good man.
You know it.
Still lots more to come in studio. Famed defense attorney Joe Tacopina in studio. Famous man's designer Joseph Aboud. But On the other side, Naomi, my mother, is back.
Aren't we the same two people who live through years in the dark? I've seen this one before. The girl gets away.
Absolute. Wrapping up the first 2 hours of today's show, epic. Frank Morano, John Katsimatidis, Congressman Peter King, and Jack Cittarelli all stopped by. But my jacket is getting so tight because my body's beautiful. Remember this guy called the other day, this idiot, when I made the joke about sleeping with the girl from NYU, which I never did. But he's like, man, you're so self-absorbed. Remember that idiot?
Yeah.
Like, what are radio hosts supposed to be?
Right. I mean,
I don't work with Bernie. Bernie's not like that. He just wants to talk about, Rittenhouse and Biden and Cuomo. He doesn't care.
But that's why you guys compliment each other so well.
Correct. But the all-time greats, what media personality, radio host, TV host, musical star, isn't self-absorbed? I got news for you. What real estate agent, what stock market person, what doctor? You ever see these plastic surgeons? They love themselves. What was that?
Well, you know what they call people who have no self-confidence and whatnot? Pushovers.
Oh, okay.
I mean, these people don't, you're not going to find success.
Of course not. You're so self-absorbed. I'm like, yeah, congratulations. You figured it out. All right, big 8 o'clock hour coming your way, live in studio at 8:40. Famed defense attorney Joe Tacopina. But coming up next, I get Instagram messages, Facebook messages, Twitter messages all the time. You want my mom back, don't you? You got her. Next.
Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative.
Marijuana.
Marijuana.
Weed.
Marijuana.
What the hell are they thinking?
Hey, I know I get some dirty looks from people who smoke pot. There are lots of people who smoke pot. It's one of the reasons why everything is getting screwed up these days. Nobody seems to be good at their job anymore. And that's what they want us to be. Stoned, distracted, while they steal from us.
Greg Kelly, weekdays from 1 to 3 p.m. before Rudy Giuliani on 77 WABC.
Sanity hangs by a thread. I lose my way, but still you seem to understand. Now and forever, I will be
8:05 on this Thanksgiving Eve Bernie and Sid show. Bernie off today. I'm Sid. I've been with you for the last 2 hours. They've been great. Again, Frank Morano, John Katsimatidis, Congressman Peter King, and Jack Cittarelli, who very nearly won the governor race in the state of New Jersey, have already all stopped by. Still to come, live in studio, men's fashion designer, the great Joseph Aboud, and famed defense attorney Joe Tacopina. But, and I mean this, I have gotten more Instagram DMs at Rosenberg.Sydney, at Rosenberg.Sydney, more tweets at Sid Rosenberg, and more Facebook messages, direct messages, Sid Rosenberg, than ever about one guest. It's not Bill O'Reilly. It's not Bo Dietl. It's not Peter King. None of these folks. It's my mother. So she was on once before. She made this very famous comment.
Play it. The creature in the White House.
That's right. That's she referred to Joe Biden as the creature in the White House. And they loved her. Getting your mother back, getting your mother back. What better time than the day before Thanksgiving? So with that said, making her return, Naomi Rosenberg, my mom. Hi, Mom.
Good morning, Sidney Rosenberg. How are you today?
More importantly, how are you, Mom?
I'm doing the best I can. It's not a good time or a great time for us, as you know, for you and I.
Yeah.
It's we're trying to get through it the best we can, but it's a sad time for us, not having Daddy with us tomorrow.
Yeah.
By the way, happy birthday to our gorgeous, wonderful Gabriel. Today's his actual birthday, I know.
Ma, he's a teenager. He's a teenager, Ma.
I can't believe
that. Isn't that crazy?
When did this happen? When did this happen to Gabriel? We didn't get older. Only the children did. Don't
right.
you know that?
I guess.
We don't get older. Only they do.
I mean, Mom, I'm going to be 55 in April.
Oh, my God.
We have the same birthday, you and I. So.
Yeah, that's right. You're going to have a birthday. You're going to be 55. One thing, there's an old saying. It's been around long before me. And I won't see 80 again, as we all know. But with that said, they said you never ask a woman her age or how much she weighs.
Right.
That's an old, old saying.
Yeah.
So we won't even discuss numbers. But I don't feel my age, except emotionally, as I said, to reiterate, because of Dad.
Yeah.
But other than that, I still jog every day, and I do what I have to do, and life is what it is. We make the best of it.
Well, you look great.
Especially
you sound great.
Thank you. And their celebration for Gabriel was absolutely beautiful. It was just, I couldn't put words to it. Everybody said how wonderful it was.
It was. It was a wonderful day. And you were great.
Daniel and you did a great,
you.
Great job.
Thank
you really
you.
Did. Thank it was you. Wonderful. Yeah. Gabriel, upon his Haftorah and the whole nine yards, he did a wonderful job.
You spent a lot of time that day with Bo Deedle. You and Bo, I think you like almost made out at some point, Mom.
I don't know about that.
Oh, it's close. I don't know. But you like Bo Deedle. Bo Deedle,
yes.
Arthur Idala, they all spent a lot of time with you.
Yes, yes, wonderful. They're wonderful people.
Yeah.
They really are. They're good people.
So what are you doing tomorrow? Are you going to be at Ray Sherry? My sister, Ray Sherry.
Well, yeah, tomorrow I will be with your sister, Ray Sherry, for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, Sidney, I don't really celebrate holidays per se, because like I said, to reiterate, it's a hard time to be without Daddy,
yeah.
You know?
Especially
I mean,
this holiday. In fact, the last time I saw Daddy was 2 years ago. It was Thanksgiving. That was the last time.
Yeah, so you know, we were together by Tamara.
Yes.
So, in which I was invited again, but of course I declined, because I want to be in my house, you know, I want to be home. I'll have a bite to eat and then come home and feel his presence in the house. And with that said, we have to be thankful for whatever little bit we have, considering what's going on in this world today with these creatures. This creature that we have to refer to as, not I won't say our, the president. Not in my world, Sidney Ferris. Not in my world. He may be the president of somebody's outhouse, but he's not the president of my country, the United States of America. He is useless. He has created such havoc in this world, in this country, that it's unspeakable. It's just unspeakable. And the swamp around him, these creatures that work with him and around him, his mouthpiece, Jen, because he has nothing comes out of his mouth. His mouth moves like a ventriloquist, but nothing comes out of his mouth. It's this Jen, his lady, Jen. She's his mouthpiece. And to talk to her or listen to her, oh, Lord above us. Where did they get?
Listen, Mom. I remember you used to, and don't get too crazy with this because I'm nervous. Okay, so but I remember how you felt
nervous.
About.
Nervous. I won't say anything incorrect.
I know. All right. Oh no. You on the show? Yes. So I know you didn't like Barack Obama, and you don't have to go into the whole thing with Daddy and Barack Obama, healthcare, all that stuff. But I know you didn't like him. But I have to think that you like this guy even less, or no?
Oh, not even comparison. And like I said, we were personally hit by Obama, by his Medicare, not his
health care,
whatever.
Right. Obamacare, right.
Yeah, his health care.
Right.
And so that daddy was personally hit by this because we dealt with, as you know, hospitals, big places.
Sure.
And we were really, like, hurt badly, you know, business-wise. But as far as, like, a human being, first of all, one thing you couldn't take away from Obama. He was a wonderful speaker.
Yes.
I mean, he was a wonderful, he was articulate, he spoke well. This creature in the White House, he has no voice. He has a voice through this, they call her Jen. Jen, I'd like to take my fist and smack it right in her face. Because she lies, anything out of her mouth. Does she have anything normal to say other than a lie?
No.
So, I mean, what are we talking about here? And the rest of them? And what about all these people who are aligned to him in Silicon Valley? Are they getting on their private jets tomorrow to go to one of their million-dollar homes to sit at the table with the finest of linen and glassware and silver and china dishes? Huh? Are they going to be worried about that they got to fill up their airplanes with gas or their cars with gas, as the people who are hardworking people who are going to be sitting at the table tomorrow and thinking, well, what if I can afford the turkey? If I can get the turkey, can I afford some of the side dishes? And what will be the least expensive side dish that I could have to feed my family? Do they have to worry about that?
Ma, listen, tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and we're supposed to be thankful, and we're supposed to be, I don't know, somewhat humble, right? And the way you're talking about Jen Psaki, Mom, it's not very nice. It's not very nice, Ma.
Well, it's a fact.
Oh, okay.
It's a fact. What is she? Who is she?
F her.
Where is she? I mean, for sure. No decent person would want to even do that. Jen Psaki, what is she?
Well, I don't mean literally, Mom.
Literally or not. No. I mean, this woman is, I mean, she's got the nerve to stand up there and say things about people that make no sense at all. I mean, and what is this? What is this? I mean, with this, now we're going to dip into our reserve and use that 50 million gallons of you know, what we need to fill our cars.
Thank God you don't have the Jaguar anymore. That would have been like $1 million just to fill the tank once.
I mean, forget. And what about heating my house, Sydney?
Oh, my God. Quentin Road would have been $1 billion. I know.
I mean, I won't be able to heat this building. Well, I will, of course.
Of course.
I will not, because they'll never get to me.
Not you.
They'll never get
Bastards.
To me. But,
nope.
I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You just cannot make this stuff up. We, like you say, we should be thankful. And I am thankful for all the good health of people I love, my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and people other than my own family and flesh and blood. I do care about other people. I really do. But these creatures in the White House and who they associate with.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to go to Russia and beg them for oil? Is this
I hate to tell you, but you go to a Russian nail lady a lot. I know that.
Not
anymore?
No, I haven't for years.
Oh, really?
I mean, not for years.
You used to go all the time. You used to love the Russian.
No, I used to travel 5 hours like an idiot to Brooklyn to have my nails done. That's long over.
That's over. Okay. No.
And it's a good thing that I don't do that, because where would I get the gas money?
That's right.
Where would I get this to travel back and forth 110 miles away from Manhattan
That's funny.
Or Brooklyn?
So you know who's coming into the studio? He's on his way in right now, and he's listening to the whole conversation. He says, oh, my God, your mom, she sounds exactly the way she did 40 years ago. It's the same kid, Mom, who with a pen ruined the back of Daddy's back seat when he had the car for like a week. And he's now like the most famous defense attorney outside your daughter-in-law in the world, Joe Tacopina, and he sends his love to you. You remember Joseph?
Oh, of course. How could I forget that wonderful young man? I send my love to him as well. Listen, he's a big shot now, and more importantly, he has a nice big family.
Yeah.
I believe he has 5 children.
He does, Yeah.
I mean, he's brought nice people into this world. I'm sure his children are wonderful, like he was and is. So we're thankful for that, too. We're thankful that at least people that we knew, and young men, young boys, and little boys that we knew grew up to be wholesome, God-loving, wonderful,
well,
United States, wonderful
some
people.
Of that's true. I don't know about it. You did meet Margot Katsimatidis at Gabe's Bar Mitzvah. Isn't she a wonderful lady?
Oh, she's a wonderful, 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 warm, wonderful woman. Just wonderful. It was a pleasure really sitting next to her and being with her. She's bright. I was filling her in on some of the things that were going on and translating what was going on from Judaism to Christianity, some of the things that we do that that we have in common with our Christian folk.
Yep.
And she was very appreciative because she was really like enlightened to things that she wouldn't actually know.
They're very spiritual people. Yeah, they're very spiritual people, her and John, and good religious people.
I didn't get to speak with John. I did see him and say hello and greet him, but I really didn't get to speak with him. But they are wonderful people, and they do wonderful things, and they're wonderful to my son, Sidney Ferris Rosenberg.
That's me. Well, listen.
How good is that?
That's great. I know tomorrow's tough. It's tough on me, too.
Yes.
But I love you. And
you know, I didn't get to really know what you're doing tomorrow, actually.
I'm not doing anything tomorrow, Mom. It's a hard day for me. We're going to go out for dinner. We're probably going to go to Red Rooster in Harlem, something like that, which we did a couple years. It's very nice, you know, and it's not far. But I'm not ready yet to celebrate Thanksgiving. Not yet.
No. I'm not either, son. I'm not ready to do this. I mean, it's still too fresh in my mind. I don't know that I'll ever get by it. I don't celebrate any holiday. I don't observe or celebrate, and I cannot. It's a very tough time. Daddy loved life, and certainly Sidney Ferris. One thing that your dad did love was food. He loved food of all kinds. Well, there was no problem feeding him at any table because he loved food. We're going to have to get by it the best we can. I pray that again, that all my kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids are happy and safe and healthy. And that's all I can ask for at this point in time in my life. Other than that, I don't really expect or want anything from anyone, Sidney. Just love in return and caring. Other than that, I really don't. Again, we have to focus on what's going on in this world because right now it doesn't look good.
No.
I know that Hannity had Trump on.
Yes.
Did you see that?
It was great. Yes, Trump was great. You're a Fox News junkie. You watch Fox News I used to watch sports.
That's all I listen to.
Yeah.
Sidney Ferris, that's all I listen to. Yeah. I don't listen to any other channel.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, I can't stand. They're not practical, and they don't state facts. They're strictly biased. It's what they want to spew to the American people, which is disgusting. So at least with Fox, at least I get to hear what I want to hear.
No, they're good.
I thought that interview was absolutely incredible.
It was.
I thought he did very well.
He did do very well. Hopefully he'll be the president again.
People say,
Hopefully he'll be the president again.
We've got to get past 2022. I mean, that's we got to get past this, Sidney. Right. And get the
You want my job? You want my job, Mom? I mean, you're like, you're so well-versed in this. I can't believe this. It's unbelievable.
Well, because I have to be up on, listen, listen, my days are done, Sidney. Whatever I have on this earth, in this world, I have it. That's it. But I'm worried about my children and grandchildren.
Yeah.
Because what they're doing to this country is unconscionable.
All right, I have to go.
It really is.
I have to go. I have to go. There's commercials. I have to, this whole thing.
Yes, you must do that.
Yeah.
Love to everybody at your show.
Right.
God watch you, all of you. And to my Danielle and my children, God watch you. And be in touch, and we'll talk again.
You were even better this time than last time, Mom. That's how great you were.
Thank you, my son.
I love you so much. I love you so much.
I love you more, my child.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I'm one and only son. I love you. God watch you.
All right.
Take care.
Bye. We'll be back.
You make sense of madness when my sanity hangs by a thread. I lose my way, but still. Thank you.
thanks to Mom there. My Instagram blowing up at Rosenberg.Sydney. Twitter at Sid Rosenberg. Facebook Sid Rosenberg, too. We are the Bernie and Sid Show. Bernie is off today, but we've had a great show so far. John Catsimatidis, Frank Morano, Jack Cittarelli, Peter King, and my mother. Still to come, famed defense attorney Joe Tacopina and fashion designer Joseph Abood, both live in studio. And Mom was great again. She's now 2 for 2. She does not disappoint. She knows her stuff. And I tell you guys, a lot of stuff that is very personal, because I think that's what makes radio great. Anybody can come on and talk about Rittenhouse and Biden, and I'm not minimizing what we do, me and Bernie, that stuff, but I mean, anybody can do that. That doesn't make you a great radio show. The great guys are the ones that, and the great listeners, of course, are the ones that share moments like this, when my mom comes on and talks about not having daddy there for Thanksgiving. And the last time I saw my father alive, by the way, was 2 years ago on this holiday, so I don't do well on Thanksgiving. It's part of the reason why the folks are saying, why don't you be with your mom and your sisters, and I can't do it yet. I'm not ready to celebrate this holiday just yet. But and I share that with you guys because I think there are folks out there that maybe feel the same way. Maybe you don't, but you certainly love your mom, your dad, your brothers and sisters, and that's what this holiday and tomorrow is all about. So with that said, here's Kevin in Manhattan, line 4. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Sid. Thanks for taking my phone call on this Thanksgiving pre-day,
yeah,
or whatever you want to call it. But Naomi, your mother is an angel of God, man. You're so blessed to have her right now at this time of the year.
Thank you.
The way she was talking, it just reminded me of my own mother. My mother passed away 13 years ago.
Sorry.
And, yeah, I've been without her. Every day is a struggle, man. Every day is a struggle to be without her. You know, I'm the firstborn of 4 children, you know, and to be without her, and my kids miss her every day. You know, I have 3 children, and I'm actually homeless right now because of the choices I made in life, you know.
Oh, sorry.
And, but, yeah, it is what it is, and it's my own fault, you know. So I'm working to get better, though. I'm working to do my, you know, to get myself back on my feet and do what I need to do. And I still have a father, thank God, on this earth.
You have a phone? You have a phone, Kevin?
Yeah, I do.
All right,
yeah.
I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to have Luke take down your phone number, and I'm going to call you, and I'm going to try to help you if you want the help, because you sound like a special guy, and you sound like you should be in a better situation than you are. So if you want the help, I'm going to take your number, and after the holiday, I'm going to call you and try to help you, okay?
Oh, thank you so much, Sid. I appreciate it.
All right, kid.
Put
this guy in hold. Luke, grab his number. Thank you for the phone call, Kevin. Things will get better, I promise. Jimmy Meatballs out on Staten Island, line 5. Good morning, Jimmy. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Sid, I have to tell you, and please forgive me, just give me a minute. When I was listening to your mother speak, it broke my heart because I hear the hurt in her voice and the anguish. And when I hear any mother call their son, or they refer to their father as daddy and mommy, you know, it makes your heart melt, because I'm blessed to have my mom at 85 years old, and I treasure every minute with her. But when I lost my father, I didn't look at anybody, in a sense that I didn't put up any decorations. I didn't want to be with anybody, and my family understood. But let me tell you something, Mrs. Rosenberg, I believe your mom is an absolute angel, and you and your family, and happy birthday to that beautiful Gabriel. I remember him growing
Thank
up
you.
On your show,
yeah,
when you used to bring him in. But one thing I'll tell you, you're blessed in a lot of ways, and may your father shine down on you and your mom and your family and keep you in his care, because someday, not now, but someday, as we're promised, we will all be together.
Yeah.
And what a beautiful, beautiful son your mother and father made
thank
the rest
you, Jimmy.
Of your family. But you
thank
are,
you, thank
you,
you.
Are
thank
a
you.
Dynamite man. And I'm not
thank
just
you.
Saying that because I love you guys. I'm saying it because I'm speaking about you. You are a great guy, and I'll never forget you for as long as I live.
Jimmy, thank you. Thank you. That's such a beautiful phone call. Thank you for those really wonderful words, and you're a pretty super guy yourself, Jimmy. We love meeting you here on the Bernie and Sid Show, and you still make the best meatballs on Staten Island. Ken is in Pennsylvania, line 8. Good morning, Ken. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, Sid, same to you. Thanks. Thank you. Really good radio this morning. It's hitting home with me. I lost my dad last month. It's
sorry.
My first Thanksgiving without him. So it's hitting home, but I really enjoyed your mom's commentary, and as always, just enjoyed the show and thought it was a good day to call. So
thank you, Ken. Thanks. You very much. I'm sorry about your father, but try to have a good day tomorrow and a good holiday season, okay, pal?
Will do. Thanks.
All right. Ken is in Pennsylvania. Folks, we got more calls to get to. Mad Mike, Carol, Diane, Roger, Scott, Billy. I promise to devote at least one segment, maybe two, in the 9 o'clock hour to phone calls, what you're thankful for, maybe my mom, all that stuff. We do have a couple of good guests stopping by live in studio. Great guests. So I was talking to my mother, I feel like Marky Mark Wahlberg, and I brought up Joe Tacopina. I said, Joseph is coming into the studio. For folks that don't know, way back when, galaxy far, far away, at a little school called Poly Prep in Diker Heights, Brooklyn, Joseph Tacopina and Sid Rosenberg became best friends. And not only best friends, but we traveled in a carpool together every morning. I was on Quentin Road. Joseph was on Bedford Avenue. There was a guy named Bruce Charrett, who's Idala's buddy from the Friars Club, yeah, who's a comedian, all that. He was on Bedford Avenue. One more kid no one knows about, George Small.
George Small.
We became best friends. So my parents knew Joseph's parents, Josephine and Cosmo. They're both gone. God rest their souls. For a very, very long time, we all became very, very friendly. So I brought Joseph up to my mother, said he's on the way in, and here he is in the flesh. My handsome buddy, famed defense attorney, the biggest attorney maybe in the world today. Sorry, Arthur. Joe Tacopina. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning, Sidney Ferris.
Sidney Ferris.
So, I love that.
You're driving in. I knew your parents very, very well, especially your mom. And you're driving in hearing my mother talk about my father.
Yeah.
And you.
Yep.
And I know both your parents are gone. Your mom just passed away about 2 years ago. That could have been an easy drive. I apologize for that.
No. Listen, it was. I felt your mom, because my mom went through that, especially the first 3 years. She lived about 8 years after my dad passed, and especially those first 3 years were tough. I heard it coming through your mom's voice. I mean, I did, and it is so tough, and especially these times, the holidays and Christmases and birthdays, and they were soulmates for 30 years, they were together for forever, more than that.
How about
actually,
my parents, 63?
Yeah, no, more than, what am I talking about?
Your parents had to be at least 50.
Yeah, at least
45,
it's over
50, something like
yeah,
that. Right.
45,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's, but it was, to hear that play out again, was very touching. Tough. Thank God I wasn't in the studio.
Yeah.
I looked a little different than I would normally.
But you've got a beautiful family. Your wife, Tish, is a gorgeous girl. You got 5 great kids.
Yep.
So you got a big Thanksgiving dinner coming up tomorrow in your palatial estate somewhere in New York, wherever you live. I don't know.
Connecticut, but yes.
Connecticut.
Same thing. Connecticut.
Yes. Oh, you got really wealthy. You moved to Connecticut. You used to live up by Tappan or something, right?
I know.
Westchester.
Yeah, in Dobbs Ferry, right.
Right, that's right.
But, Tish decided my commute was way too short, so we had to stretch out another hour.
That's what happened, huh? Let's get to the serious news of the day as, again, the biggest defense attorney in the country. Actually, I'll tell you what. Before we get to Kyle Rittenhouse, being I always describe you that way, and Arthur's a defense attorney, so is my wife. She's in court right now arraigning somebody, believe it or not, in Nassau, in person. You are now repping Kimberly Guilfoyle.
Right.
What is that all about?
About the saga that doesn't seem to ever want to go away because the Democrats want to keep pushing the January 6th narrative again and again and again. Recently I represented her regarding some allegations that she was involved in fundraising for January 6th. First of all, she wasn't. That's very clear. But secondly, if she was, so what? So what? That they raised funds for a peaceful protest, what was supposed to be a peaceful protest.
Right.
It was. She didn't raise funds, or anyone who raised funds for January 6th for the Save America rally didn't do it saying, okay, now go arm yourself, go into right. break into
They didn't
the
know that was going to happen.
Of course not.
They didn't know.
Of right. course not. Trump didn't know. None of them knew that that was going to happen. I mean, it was supposed to be a peaceful protest, and things got out of hand. We know what happened. But that doesn't fall on anyone who raised money for what was supposed to be a peaceful protest. Kimberly did not. And now, of course, there's this notion that she's going to get subpoenaed by Congress.
Well, I mean, they have subpoenaed just about everybody else.
Yeah. So you know, and whatever. I mean, really, I mean, this is what we're doing here. This is what Congress, and this is what we're wasting time on, you know, going back to try and figure out, what are they going to get? Do they think anyone really thought this was going to be a violent rally where people are going to be breaking?
No, not the way it went
down. Of course
down.
Not. Of course not.
No.
Yet, you know, we have all this. I mean, we're printing money. Inflation is going through the roof. I mean, you can't get food in the stores. I mean, try and shop for Thanksgiving. Go to a drugstore and try and get something.
No, it's hard.
I mean,
so I tell you, go to Gristidi's. My boss owns it. They have food.
Yeah, well, Gristidi's might be the only one. But the problem with Gristidi's or anywhere else is, like, there's a turkey bacon crisis in this country.
I know.
There's a turkey. Turkey bacon used to be $4 for a pack of turkey bacon. It's now $8.
Yeah.
I mean, is that insane?
No, it is insane. But it's not as insane as, I know you represent one of these guys too, you got people that are still like in solitary confinement from January 6th. This maniac who purposely drove through a crowd of people killing little kids and grandmothers in Wisconsin 2 days ago was let go on $1,000 bail. So there's two things we could talk about here, Joseph. One is, the bail issue, which is ridiculous, and secondly, look at the difference. These guys didn't commit a crime. They're in jail forever. This guy's out in a day.
Yeah. My client from January 6th, who was not one of the members of the rally who broke into the congressional buildings or into the Capitol, didn't even get near it, is remanded in jail, meaning he could post $10 million. He can't get out of jail.
Can't get out of jail.
Not remanded, okay? Okay. So, but yet a guy who attempts to kill his daughter's mother by running her over with his car, which is exactly what he just did, is released on $1,000 bail because the DA, and the DA is really, he should be investigated and taken out of office because what he said with his bail reform package, you know, there's this new woke bail reform thing going on, right? So what he said was, oh, sure, someone that I get release on my reduced bail platform, you know, no cash bail platform is going to go out and kill someone. That's going to happen. Well, I mean, first of all, that's a horrible thing to say.
Of
course. But it happened. It happened, and now he realizes, oh, maybe it was a mistake.
We have some of those same problems here. I know that you're an attorney in New York. You'd rather not bash the local DAs, but Gonzalez in Brooklyn and some of these other boroughs, we have some of the same issues. Very, very lenient on bail and allowing criminals to run free. I mean, I would have to say this state more than any other. That's something you have to deal with every day.
Yeah, look, and as a defense attorney, it's not that I want bail to be excessive, because that's a problem, too. Look, I'm dealing with a case in D.C. right now where bail is beyond excessive. Okay, it's unconstitutional in my opinion. But putting that aside,
wow.
Yes. On the other hand, I don't want a violent criminal because I do live in the community. We live in the community. We want our streets safe. You don't want a violent criminal, someone who has propensity to violence, to just get out because we don't want to, you know, criminalize poverty or whatever they say.
Right.
It's not true. You're criminalizing crime. That's what you're criminalizing. It's not poverty. It's crime.
Right.
And so whatever the bail should be for a particular offense, it should be. But someone who tries to kill his girlfriend, who happens to be the mother of his daughter, should not be released on $1,000 bail if it was a shoplifting case, like he took a bag of chips out of Duane Reade and left.
Right. And he, of course, goes on to commit a more heinous crime. The famed defense attorney Joseph Tacopina, a friend of mine for the better part of 45 years. Kyle Rittenhouse. They got that right? Right?
Yeah, they got it right. I mean, look, based on the laws of that state, based on the laws that allowed for him to act in self-defense and carry that particular weapon, they got it right. I mean, he was under siege. He was under attack, and he defended himself. He believed he was under attack by someone who was going to commit a deadly force crime against him, right? So of course, they got it right. I mean, and what sickens me is to see these two clowns, the president and the vice president.
Clowns. Now, this is not you. This is not your
me.
M.O.
No, it's not
this
my
is Bernie.
M.O.
This is not you. You're usually very measured.
You know, but I get crazy. And listen, and I tell you, you know, I was not always on the side of Donald Trump, so to speak, or his actions or his conduct,
actually
right?
were more not on the side than on his side.
And just because of some of the things he said more than what he did.
Agree.
Okay?
Even but, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I loved him. I did not vote for him in 2016. I loved him enough to vote for him in 2020. I want him back badly right now, but he does speak like an idiot every now and then,
and
a real buffoon.
And I think that's what tainted his sort of his legacy and his reputation much more so than what he actually did, because he did a lot of good things. But when I hear people, politicians in particular, invoke their opinion into the criminal justice system, it gets me crazy. and a president, and especially Kamala Harris, who was a prosecutor, who, by the way, had her own misconduct problems as a prosecutor, you know, really should be quiet. When I hear the president say things like, today's verdict speaks for itself, I spent the majority of my career, oh, this is Kamala Harris, making our criminal justice system more equitable, it's clear there's still a lot more work to do. So she basically said this jury
got it wrong.
Who spent, and she didn't see 1 minute of testimony.
Of course not.
Didn't see one piece of evidence.
Yeah.
And Joe and Biden the same thing.
Well, the
many Americans feeling angry, myself included.
Yeah.
Okay. But we must acknowledge the jury's verdict, myself
included. Well, you could be angry, but they got it right. Mayor de Blasio said the same thing. But I would ask you about something Biden said before. Before he won the presidency, he was just a citizen. Mm. He called this kid a white supremacist.
Yeah. Yeah.
This kid was on with Tucker Carlson Monday night, Rittenhouse, and he said, hey, he defamed me. That was libel.
Yep.
If he called you today.
In 1 minute.
You got a lawsuit?
As a matter of fact, I was going to come on and say, because I read an article that he was really worked up about Biden calling him a white supremacist. I mean, how stupid. I mean, I guess he didn't take his meds that day, Biden, or whatever it was. but I, in 1 minute, I would represent him, and we'd figure out a way to get around.
That's a winnable lawsuit, right?
I think it is. And if it's not, it's a great trial.
Right.
I have a great time crossing Joe Biden.
All right.
Would be perhaps the greatest cross of my life. And I've had some doozies, Sid.
So you've had some big ones. In fact, you've had so many big ones that, correct me if I'm wrong, but Forbes magazine recently wrote something about you. Now, was that about your career or more about the soccer team? Did you buy that soccer team in Catania?
No, not in Catania, in Ferrara, Italy.
Oh, Ferrara, Spal, that's
Spal,
right.
The big team in the northern part of Italy, Spal, one of the historically great clubs in Italian football. I'm the president of, Forbes wrote an article that sort of covered both my legal sort of career and a lot of.
Are you as big as an attorney in Milan as you are here, or even bigger?
No. I'm not. They don't even know me as an attorney in Italy.
You're just a soccer guy.
I'm
handsome, rugged American.
Well, one thing I'm proud of, Sid, I'm the only president in the history of Italian soccer to win three promotions in a row, three championships in a row.
Is that right?
Yeah, in the history.
Did Mike Piazza do that?
No, Mike, I love Mike, but Mike did not have a good time in Italian football. I saw him a couple months ago. Mike's a great guy.
Great guy.
He really is. I mean, talk about, he's a humble superstar. I mean, really. That guy's a Hall of Famer. I sit and talk to him. He acts like he's a guy who works in a deli.
Yeah,
that's the great part
about
Mike
Piazza. Just like A-Rod. Who was also your client. Another one of Tacopina's famous clients, Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah.
I'll never forget when he walked down to the Steelers to talk to Mike Francesa. Yeah, and they would go all over you that day, Joe Tacopina. You've been everywhere. Yeah. You've had an amazing career. You're a dear, dear friend. I love having our lunches at Cipriani's and just you and I sitting and talking.
I miss you, bud.
I miss you, too. So give us this is obligatory, but you must tell me.
Before I do.
Yes.
Would you ever microwave turkey bacon?
Yes.
Microwave turkey bacon?
100%.
That's disgusting.
I microwave everything.
See,
so,
I've actually microwaved
turkey bacon.
No, that's disgusting. I was talking to the great Chad Siegel this morning about the turkey bacon crisis, and he tells me he microwaves turkey bacon.
Who does that?
Siegel.
Chad Siegel?
Yeah.
Now I'm going to stop.
That's ridiculous. And he said, Oscar Mayer said you could do it. It's on their packet. There you go. Oscar Mayer.
Okay. Well,
bacon when it's crispy.
I only buy Oscar Mayer bacon. That's it.
That's real bacon. You know, it's not real.
I understand that, Joe.
Okay.
I got it. I watch wrestling, too. That's not real either.
I'm really worked up about this turkey bacon.
I know. You got to calm down. This is what you're worried about in today's day and age. You got criminals roaming the streets.
And the microwaving turkey bacon.
It's a terrible thing. You're right. That's punishable by death, right? You would think, right?
That deserves no bail. There should be no bail if you microwave turkey bacon.
Oh, God. All right. So on the way out, this is obligatory. It's lame. I get it. Outside of Tish and your kids, or maybe including them, what are you most thankful for?
Well, first and foremost, them, obviously. The simple things in life is what I'm thankful for. You know, we run around, Sid, you and I, you're obviously such a high-profile guy, and to a degree I am too here and in Italy, and always busy running around. The more I appreciate the simple things in life, hanging out, watching, movies, sitting at home, and being with the family. And that's why a day like tomorrow is a great day. It's a special day. And that's what I'm most appreciative. When you start getting perspective, sometimes we lose it. In all the things we do, and all the you start thinking
a lot of times
a little too maybe important for yourself, but it's the simple things in life that are really what's worth living. That the backpack, what I call a backpack, a group like a wolf pack. But anyway, it's those are the things that are really the most important things to me, and that's what I'm thankful for. And having guys like you as my friend, I mean, look, you and I, you're the oldest friend I have,
and
the closest friend I have. No matter what, you and I could talk like we've talked, 40 years ago, and that's touching me. I'm going to touch you right now, so I'm going to end this before I make a fool out of myself.
There he is, folks. I feel the same way. My dear friend for over 45 years, famed defense attorney. You got me all choked up. Joseph Tacopina, thank you for coming in today. You were great.
Love
I know you drove all the way here, driving all the way back just for this.
And your mom's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Naomi loves you, too. We'll take a short break. Joseph Abood is next. Thanks to Joseph Tacopino. We'll be right back.
Bringing him home.
How do you know I did?
By the way,
Roma
has
to
be the most
brightly. Go!
Why?
Holy, it's Thanksgiving. I got a turkey in the oven.
Oh, a turkey in the oven. Oh.
You want the bird? Go in the alley and eat the bird.
Oh, boy.
I want you out of here. Get out of the house. Let me enjoy your freaking life!
You hungry, Rock? Classic Thanksgiving scene with Burt Young, Paulie, Rocky, Adrian. We're going to take phone calls later this hour, most of the hour. People are still texting me about my mother, Kimberly Kravitz, the lovely Kimberly, and her father, Frankie Kravitz, Mike Sullivan, Chuck Scholl, Laura McDonough, Lori out in New Jersey, the real estate lady, Lisa Ganji. I mean, the list goes on and on. Thank you for all of that. And we'll take your phone calls later. We've had a run of tremendous guests today. In the 6 a.m. hour, we had both Frank Morano and John Catsimatidis. In the 7 o'clock hour, we had Jack Cittarelli and Congressman Peter King. And in the 8 o'clock hour, we had Joe Tacopina and Mom. But as Vanessa Williams once said, we save the best for last. And here he is, the man that continues to dress me every day. And I can't thank you enough because it's completely changed my life. The gorgeous men's fashion designer, Joseph Abood. Good morning, Joseph.
Sydney, thanks for having me. You've now become a sex symbol.
I have.
It's, and this is really, really depressing. From the early days of sports announcing to now a superstar, you know, and you should write a new book called You're Beautiful and You're Smart.
That's funny, instead of You're Wrong and You're Ugly.
Yeah.
I do have a new book coming out. You're in the book, by the way.
Yeah.
Citizens United, set for release Father's Day. We did finish the book, me and Johnny Russo, last week.
Yeah.
But some of that is tongue-in-cheek, superstar, I guess, quasi, and a sex symbol. You know, I do get a lot of messages.
We have to be careful where this show is going. Yeah,
I know. So social media is a very dangerous place.
It is.
But
it
that
is.
Goes back to you, because Bernie always says this too. I used to show up in T-shirts,
yeah.
The Rosenberg Show T-shirts and shorts.
That's right.
Now, almost every day, I wear a blazer, a jacket. Mm-hmm. This is a suit today. But
yeah.
But it's all your product, all of it, except for a couple of Louis Ricard shirts. It's all your product. All
well, you've... You know, you've done me proud because you've always looked so great in the clothes. And it comes back to what we said, you know, the clothes make the man, and they yeah. really do. And in this time, you know, where people have been in sweatshirts and T-shirts and sweatpants because they haven't gone to work,
yeah.
we need to reverse that. It's time for guys to get dressed up
I
again.
I agree.
And we're out now where those masks were horrific.
Yeah.
They were.
They want them back.
I mean, I tried to coordinate them with my outfits.
You did. But you actually gave me a couple of
like,
color.
That's
masks.
Right.
Yeah.
Some Glenn plaids. But yeah. it really is time to get dressed up again. Yeah. But it shows just how important first impressions are.
Well, I'll tell you this. I have a couple of acting opportunities.
Yeah.
I'm in Gravesend. I'm
that's
shooting
right.
a movie in Los Angeles. And my wife gets on me. She's like, you got those opportunities because you're on the radio. I go, no, Danielle. I got those opportunities because I work out and I wear nice clothing.
Yeah.
So if you don't think that dressing for success
absolutely.
Means something, you're naive and or stupid, or maybe a combination of both.
Absolutely. So I've always thought, even from the very beginning when I started to try to dress well, to open doors, it really did open doors,
yeah.
as I said, first impression.
Yeah.
So,
and look at this outfit today. This is gorgeous.
Oh, well, thank you.
A great turtleneck, a beautiful scarf, and that is a gorgeous jacket.
This is one from The Runway, the show that you were at.
Yes!
At the pier. So
yes.
we only made a limited edition of pieces. There's only two or three of these in the world. And it's not because I'm so proud that it's so exclusive, but I really made it with me in mind.
It's gorgeous.
You know, I was able to design it. So, you know, I love doing that. I still love designing clothes. I do want people to get dressed up again. And right now, the supply chain issue is really a nightmare.
Well, let's talk about that, because
yeah.
we're always talking on this show about food.
That's right.
And cars.
That's
but
right.
clothing is in the same boat.
Well, think about the fashion industry as the fourth largest industry in the United
what,
States.
What are the three biggest ones?
I don't know
what
the
either.
Three
okay.
biggest yeah. are, but yeah. I know that the fashion industry is
gambling,
right up
prostitution,
in the top.
And liquor.
Probably. But if you really think about it now, think about no wool is coming from Australia to go to Italy to weave the fabrics. So no fabrics are coming from Italy to be manufactured in clothes here in America. So this supply chain issue, you may go into a store and see jackets and no pants. You can look at stores and see they're probably a quarter full. And it's very difficult. Not too many people have spoken up about the fashion industry itself having these major issues.
That's because nobody's, like you said, people aren't getting dressed
well,
up.
At some point they will. But then we are also coupled with these lootings. Walnut Creek in San Francisco, where the Nordstrom and the Gucci stores, yeah, where groups of people, and they are marauders, go in and literally take piles of clothing out of stores. I mean, this is a major issue that crime in the United States is going to affect the fashion business,
wow,
as well.
Wow. So most of your threads come from Italy.
Well, all of our fabrics did, and we manufactured a lot in Italy, and you know, it's an amazing country, but they've been hit so hard. They've been shut down by the pandemic.
Yeah.
So it's a vicious cycle. And to me, I think the way we have to look at this is, how do we get people back to normal? They've got to start shopping. But
they have to go back to work. You have to understand, there's still 60% of the offices in New York City are still unoccupied.
Right. It's all interconnected. And really think about this. When they do get dressed up, are the prices going to skyrocket? Mm-hmm. We run into that issue with all of this inflationary problem that we have.
You almost said bull duty. You almost cursed.
I I realize that I'm on a family show. You just had your mom on, and you've had everybody in tears. So I don't want to be a negative influence.
But
on
you're right. You're right. It's a mess.
Well,
it's a mess.
But I think all of that, I think this is the greatest country in the world. And if you ask me what I'm thankful for on Thanksgiving,
yeah,
is that I live in America. And where could a kid from the south end of Boston grow up to have his own fashion line, his own collection, his own label? So, you know, I always look at this as a half-full situation, but we do have issues. But also, I'm really excited about I'm working on a project, a mini-series or film based off of my book, Threads.
Which I have to tell you, in my family room,
yes,
which is really my room, I watch TV there, and I have three books. True story now. Yeah. Three books there. One's mine because I'm a narcissist.
Yes, me too.
One is Joan Rivers' daughter, Melissa. She wrote a book on her mother because I miss Joan Rivers.
Oh, she was the best. When it comes to the fashion business,
nobody
she
better.
Was the best.
Oh, that's ironic. I didn't even realize that, but that's true, right? And the third book on that table is Threads.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, this is really fun. When I wrote Threads with Ellen Stern, who's an incredible writer, she was the senior writer at GQ. She did the first Kevin Costner article on the Untouchables. I mean, she's a brilliant writer.
Have you seen Kevin Costner's show Yellowstone?
No, I know you talked about it.
Best show on television.
Yeah, I heard you say that.
And you will love what they wear.
Is that right?
The cinematography. You'll love all that stuff. Go ahead,
sorry. So, at any rate, what I couldn't say in Threads, because I did want to be the nice guy, is what I can say in this new, what started as a novel, is this new mystery. And it really shows the underbelly of fashion.
You're going to be mean?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, it's the dark side of Joseph.
Can you give me one person, and not Versace because he was murdered, and you probably liked him anyway, give me one person who's famous that you weren't all that nice to in this, and you knew what?
I was very nice to everybody. I probably had some criticism of some American designers, some European designers, but again, I was part of the fashion industry, and I didn't really want to bury them.
Mm.
In the new book, in the new novel,
film. Give me one name in the new one that you
can't tell you.
You can't tell me.
I can't tell you because it's really...
You got to buy the book.
It's really kind of fantastic. But the fact that the fashion business isn't as glamorous as everybody thinks, and you and I have talked about this on so many occasions. It's as cutthroat as any industry, and there's a lot of...
I would think the most cutthroat.
Yeah, yeah.
The most.
And we don't even pretend to be nice to each other. It's a really fascinating look at the underbelly of the fashion industry. And it's very visual because we talk about Milan and Florence and just talking to Joe Tacopino about being in Italy and the beauty there.
Yeah.
But really the intrigue is fantastic.
So it's probably going to be a mini-series on TV?
I'm hoping it's a Netflix or Amazon.
Are you in talks with any
of
people?
We're in talks. But it's... It's a chance for me to take the gloves off.
I love it.
You know?
Because you're so nice. But I know you could be a real prick. That's how you can't be successful if you're not.
You know what? You have to stand up for yourself. You have to fight the battles.
Yes.
You have to know your place in the universe.
Damn right.
And it's really, really, really exciting. And so it's really a fun, fun project, and it's something I'm really
looking forward to. When will we know what?
Probably at the beginning of the year sometime. So you know you will be the first to know.
I can't wait.
And, you know, maybe I'll write you in the book.
What do you mean, maybe? You better. You're in my books.
That's right.
You're in my new book that's coming out. But listen, I am intrigued, and I love you, and we've had a very close relationship now for the better part of 20 years.
Oh, by the way, let's say happy birthday to Gabe.
Thank you.
And one of the greatest joys I've had in this last two or three months was to have Gabe wear a Joseph Abboud suit to his bar.
Well, you're not doing it justice. Not just wear it, but and I know you're a humble guy. But we went to Men's Warehouse on 49th and Madison. 45th and Madison?
45th and Madison.
Yeah. And me and Gabe. And there was Joseph and these two machas from Men's Warehouse.
Yeah, they came just because you were there, Andy.
And the other guy's a great guy, too.
Mo, the store manager. That's really terrific guy.
And Joseph had my son measured for his bar mitzvah suit. And it was a Joseph Abboud suit and tie and hanky and shoes and socks. And then what does this guy do? He's walking towards the register. Joe, where are you going? He bought the suit.
Well,
thousands of dollars for my son. That was very nice.
That was my gift.
That was very nice.
To a great young man.
Thank you.
Should be so, and he looks so handsome.
He looked great.
And he should keep that suit because it's going to be worth a lot of money one day because I signed it.
You did sign it.
I signed
it. Which I put on my Instagram story, which was great.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
That was so nice.
So happy birthday.
Thank you for that. Today he's actually 13.
Yeah,
today,
he's a young man.
I know. I can't believe it.
You know.
But all the years I've known you, I am intrigued by your business in a big way.
Yeah.
I think it's an amazing business. I know how cutthroat it is, how difficult it is.
Yeah.
And I know the men and the women don't seem to get along.
Nobody gets along.
But do the women feel like they're superior to the men's designer? Because there's more of them.
I do think that menswear is sort of the stepchild to women's wear.
Yes.
When people think of the fashion business, it's women's wear first, it's women's designers, and then men's guys.
Yeah, there's four guys. Like, you know Joseph, maybe Hugo Boss, Tommy Hilfiger, Pierre Cardin, and Marc Jacobs. That's it.
Well, you brought up Hugo Boss. I'll tell you a quick story. You talk about how cutthroat the business is. I used to design all my ties in Italy, and I would sit there and labor for hours and hours coloring, putting each color in each position of the tie, till 11:30 at night until I couldn't see anymore.
Wow.
One day, I walk into the hotel in Como, and I see my tie on the concierge, and I said, you know, as I would say, boy, that is a really great tie. I love that tie. Beautiful. And he said, you really like it? He flips it over and says, Hugo Boss.
Stop!
Yes. So what had ended up happening was at night, this, I won't mention his name, and he'll be in the book too, would go into my archives, take my designs, and bring them.
No.
Yes, to other manufacturers. So my designs that I spent hours and hours on.
Can't you sue him for that? Isn't that?
Go
Joe Tacopino.
And Joe knows his way around Italy.
Yeah.
But those are the kinds of things that people don't know about because
that's nasty.
It really, it's pretty nasty.
Yeah, that's gross.
And even though they sort of really take advantage of you, the Italians on occasion, they do it with a smile.
Yeah.
So sometimes you don't feel
it's like the mob.
Bad.
Right, right. They shake your hand, you turn around, they shoot you in the back
of
the head.
But it is a country of artisans, but those things do happen.
You know, Devil Wears Prada is one of my five favorite movies.
Yeah.
That automatically makes me like one of you people, right?
Yes, you're part of the fashion industry. Well, look at the way you dress now. You're a fashionista.
Now, you've seen that movie?
Yes.
Was Meryl Streep not brilliant in that role?
She was fabulous.
I imagine they really liked that, right?
Look, editors can be really difficult.
Yeah.
And it's sort of this power move where, you know, they feel important. But today, with the way media is, the fashion magazines don't carry the same power as they did in the 80s.
No magazines.
No.
I don't care if it's Playboy or Sports Illustrated.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the fashion business has to realize it's changing.
Mm.
And sometimes it's looking backwards and not forwards.
Agreed.
And it's really a challenge if you're in this business.
Need to get you back on Saturdays in 2022.
It was fun.
Your 5 o'clock show was great.
It was fun to do
great.
Threads. We had Tommy Hilfiger on who was, you know, he was more honest and open, Tommy, who's an enormous superstar on my show than he has been with any interviews he's done because we were insiders, and that's what this new mini-series is about, the insiders, what it's really like, because we're all human, and we all have neuroses and fears and desires, and when you take that and you put it into a great story, it's really fun to do.
Awesome. Can't wait for that to come out. I'm thankful for you, our friendship, all you've done for me over the years, which is immense. I can never really pay you back.
You have already.
No, I haven't. I love you, and you're great. And follow him, by the way, on Instagram, Designer Joseph Abood. It's a great follow. Designer Joseph Abood. And have a happy Thanksgiving. What do you do tomorrow?
Tomorrow we have my daughters. Everybody's here.
Everybody's here? She's in from North Carolina?
Yeah. Ari's in from North Carolina. She's now engaged, formally engaged to Jackson, who's a great young man.
Mazel tov.
My daughter Lila's still working on her vintage business,
which
is very cool. She loves you. Her boyfriend Michael will be there. So, you know, that's what I said earlier. I'm thankful that this is America, that we can be together, and it's a very special day. So...
Enjoy it.
God bless us all.
God bless you. That's Joseph Abood, everybody, the best fashion designer in the history of the business. If you think I look good, it's because of him. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Five great guests for you today. I hope you enjoyed it. And we'll spend the last 40 minutes. You can show your book to the camera if you want. Go ahead, Joe. We'll spend the last 40 minutes on the phones. You could talk about Naomi. You could talk about Rittenhouse. You could talk about the football games tomorrow, Joseph Abood, whatever you want. We'll spend the rest of the time with you on this, the pre-Thanksgiving edition of Bernie and Sid. Rod Mott, the great Rod Stewart at 9:24 on your Wednesday, day before Thanksgiving, Bernie and Sid show. No Bernie today, but I think we did a pretty good job here today. I think you guys really enjoyed it. I've got a ton of really nice messages on Instagram at Rosenberg.Sydney, at Rosenberg.Sydney. The show Instagram is at It's Bernie and Sid, at It's Bernie and Sid. Twitter, at Sid Rosenberg. Facebook, Sid Rosenberg. Thank you, Mike Garcia. Great job today, Luke. And, of course, Justin Ellick and... Deb and the whole crew. Everybody's been really, really great today. And all the guests were great. John Catsimatidis, Frank Morano, Peter King, Jack Cittarelli, Joseph Tacopina, Joe Abood, and Mom. I'm still getting text messages about my mother. So we'll take calls the rest of the way. Your chance to tell us what you're thankful for and maybe what you're not thankful for. And you can bitch and complain and do whatever you want. I don't care. I got to get to 10 o'clock and then I'm out of here. I got a birthday dinner for my son, Gabe, tonight. He becomes a teenager today, turns 13. Happy birthday, Gabriel. My son, I love you. And then a big Thanksgiving coming up tomorrow. Quiet Thanksgiving for me.
Do you remember what time he was born?
5:08 in the afternoon. You know the story about that?
No.
Let me tell you this quick story. Oh, I'm on the air. Why not? I'm a good storyteller, right?
Yeah, it's your microphone.
That's true. So my wife is pregnant, and very pregnant, by the way. And we live in Boca Raton, Florida. In West Boca, to be exact. And I'm working for 790 The Ticket, a radio station in Miami, off of Ives Dairy Road, which is not far from where the Dolphins play. It's down in North Miami. Long story, by Aventura Mall. So I go to work this one morning. And again, she's very, very pregnant, very pregnant. And I do my show. At the time, I was doing the morning show at 790 The Ticket. And the guy that was on after me... It's a guy named George Sedano. If you're a sports fan, you know who George is. He's now a star on ESPN.
I thought it was Jorge, but I guess it's George.
I call him Jorge, too. So you know exactly who he is.
Yeah, yeah.
Good-looking young Cuban kid. He was my intern way back when. Got him his first radio job. Now he's on the air. Okay? He's doing middays after me. Okay. My show ends, and I get a text from my wife. You need to go to the bank, AmTrust Bank in Hollywood, on the way home. Just in case something happens, we need cash. No problem. I'm in the car on the way to the bank, and my phone dies. I don't have a charger, right? So I'm driving in Hollywood, Florida. I'm a good 40 miles away from Boca, where the hospital is, and I go into the bank. I do take care of my banking. I come out of the car. I put the radio back on, and Jorge Sedano was on the air. And he's screaming on the air,
Hey, Sid, if you're out there listening, Danielle's in labor. She's trying to call you, and your phone isn't on. She's in labor. It's on the radio. I'm like, oh, my God. I hop on 95 North. I must have done 140 miles an hour. I got to Boca in 15 minutes. And 2 hours later, Gabriel, Martin, Atticus, Rosenberg was born. And that was 13 years ago today. How is that possible?
Well, have you ever repaid Jorge?
Every year on Gabe's birthday, which is today, I send him a thank you text. 13 consecutive years. He knows on this date, November 24th, Mr. ESPN Sedano will get a text from me.
Yeah, he's big time now.
Yeah, no, he is big time. He's great. I mean, they called me and my agent years ago, and they said, we're looking for good young Latino talent, specifically Latino. I said, this kid Sedano's great, and now he's a big star. Anyway, here's let's go to all these calls. Glenn in Middle Village on line two. Good morning, Glenn. How are you, pal?
Hey, long time no speak about Harbor Lights and Rockaway and all that other stuff. I haven't talked to you guys in a while. Like yourself, I lost my mother and my father-in-law January 15th, the same day of this year. So,
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I called you guys once before. My father's been dead since 97, so that kind of sucks. But I called just to wish Bernie and Carol, Ava, Gabby, Danielle, and yourself.
Thank you.
Flipper, and especially your board guy, Cool Hand Luke, because you guys deserve a very, very happy
thank you.
Thanksgiving.
You too, Glenn. Thank you for that. Thank you for the call, buddy. All thank right. you. Take care, pal. Be well. My sister, Ray Sherry, just texted me. She didn't know that story about Sedano and my son, Gabe. She didn't know it. But I told it a million times. That's an actual story. Mike is in Yonkers on line four.
Hey, Sid. Good morning. I wish Bernie was there so that I can say what I'm about to say to you, to both of you guys. You know, believe it or not, you're one of the best things in life these days. When you get up, I so look forward to listening to you guys in the morning. I just want you to know that.
Thank you.
And I just want to tell you that story you just told was great. And Gabriel is very lucky to have you as his father, just like you were lucky to have the father that you had.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate that. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Mike from Yonkers. Thank you very much. Russ, Milford, Connecticut, line five. Happy Thanksgiving, Russ.
Thank you, Sid. I want to tell everyone, be thankful if you have family that's close to you. I live in Connecticut, and I've lived in my house with my wife for 30 years.
Wow.
Did you grow up
in Connecticut or someplace else?
Yeah, Huntington, Connecticut, Shelton, Connecticut, yep. Huntington section, which is similar to, I don't know if you've been to Dix Hills.
Sure.
Long Island.
Yep.
It's very similar to Huntington.
There's a lot of Syrians that live in Connecticut?
I've heard that, yes.
Okay.
There's a few.
Uh-huh.
We have everything in Connecticut, you know, hopefully not too many illegals, you know, but that's another story for
right.
another time. But
right.
I'm just thankful, you know, my father's still going strong. He's 80 years old. He works full time. And I'm so grateful that my mother died about 9 years ago.
I'm sorry.
And I miss her every day. And, but I'm so glad to have, my kids living close to us. And, we've had a good life. And I'll never forget years ago. I don't mean to change the subject, but I won, a contest from WFAN when you had the $1,000 contest years ago.
I remember that. Sure. Sure.
And I actually called you. I think you were teamed up with either Steve Summers or Russ Sosberg.
No, my midday partners were Jody McDonald and Joe Beningo.
I think it was with Joe Beningo,
yeah.
I think. And I won. And that was before, I think it was before caller ID, when we had just a home phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I called and I won. And I think you answered. And I said at the time, oh, I'm so grateful for this $1,000 because my wife, she's a Jewish girl from Huntington, Long Island. And we're still married after all these years, but I was just so grateful to win that $1,000 at the time.
Oh, good.
You have another $1,000 for me today, Sid?
Sure. Why not? Take his name down. Send this kid $1,000. Thank you, Russ. Thank you for the call. One more, then we'll get to the quote of the day in sports. Carol is in New Jersey. We love Carol. Line six.
Hello,
hi, Carol.
Sid.
Hi, sweetie.
It's so great. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your wonderful family.
Thank you.
And whenever Bernie is off, you got to bring your mom on.
Nah, she's been great.
Fantastic. she really is.
Thank you.
And happy birthday to Gabriel.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, I have no family in the United States. I'm sorry, I don't mean to get upset.
That's
but
okay.
I have relatives in England, and I'm hoping and praying I'm going to be able to go over there. But I have nobody here.
No?
I have no one.
Well, you have me.
Okay.
You can call me every day.
You and Bernie.
You can call us every day. You can call us every day. How about that?
And Peter King.
That's right.
I love all of you.
When we all love you. We all love you. So, listen, your family may be far away, Carol, but like my father, he's gone. But it's you keep him in your heart. So you may be alone tomorrow, but I have a feeling, Carol, getting to know you, you call the show all the time. You're never really alone. Never.
I think we should all take a moment to think about what it's like to be a turkey.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Hi, I'm just a little turkey.
Just cut the damn bird, boy.
Dewey, can we just enjoy our Thanksgiving dinner?
You think you're so great, sitting there all drugged up on your trampoline. You're the black sheep of this family. You call yourself a cox. Until you get right with Jesus, you'll never be nothing but a big black cox.
The summer sun was down on our love long ago, but in my heart I feel the same old afterglow. A love so beautiful in
Great Roy Orbison, and of course that movie scene, the Dewey Cox story. Brilliant. 77 WABC listeners, start your mornings with the 77 WABC early news, weekdays 5 to 6 a.m. right before us, anchored by Juliet Huddy and my man Frank Morano. Juliet and Frank objectively bring you the latest news from across the tri-state. Traffic reports on the 7s and sports at 15 and 45. Download the 77 WABC radio app and wake up with 77 early news with Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano. It's before us, 5 to 6 every weekday. Joan and Ziada, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Beautiful message he just sent me. Let's get back to the phones. Got about 17 minutes to go. I'm intrigued by this one. Stephen on Long Island, line 7. Good morning, Stephen.
Mr. Rosenberg, I don't know if you remember me. We used to hang out in Captain Walters.
Well, I mean, I hung out with 1,000 people in Captain Walters. What's your last name? Can you say it or you can't?
Sure, I can. Steve Apter.
Do I remember you? You and Spolansky. It was either going to be you or Spolansky. I know two Steves, two good-looking muscle heads from the good old days of Manhattan Beach. And, I actually look now like you did back then. How do you look?
I had a heart attack. And
oh, God.
I had a shoulder replacement.
I'm sorry.
I had a shoulder replacement, but I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm back in the gym. I had to take off for about a year and a half.
Are you doing well, though?
I'm getting back. And what's that?
You're doing well.
I'm doing well, yeah. I hung out with Polanski not too long ago. We went out for dinner.
Is that right? That's funny. So where do you live on Long Island? What part, Steve?
I live in Hewlett.
Oh, very nice. Very, very nice. And you're happy?
What's that?
You're happy? Your family's good?
Yeah, I got 4 kids. We're good. Everybody's good.
Good.
I wanted to bring up a story from Captain Walters, if you don't mind.
Be careful.
It's a funny story.
All right, be careful. Go ahead. Yeah.
we hung out one day, and then I don't know what happened. We hung out all night, and then we ended up on the beach.
Oh, my God.
Nothing romantic or anything like that. We took the bus to the beach.
Yep.
Barefoot.
I remember.
And
I remember.
You do remember that.
A lot of cocaine and a lot of liquor. And a lot of that. Those were the days. Every Thursday night, I found myself all loaded up. I know. And you were a lot of those nights included you. You were a handsome kid. You banged just about every chick in Brooklyn. So congratulations.
You know, I'm going to play this to my wife.
No. That was before. That was way before her. She's a very lucky woman.
Yeah,
and I'm sure she's beautiful. So.
It still won't work. My wife actually toured with your niece.
Which one?
Max.
Maxie, no kidding. How about that?
Maxie. Yeah.
Ray Sherry's tour.
And it was very touching listening to your mom. I don't know if you remember, I did go to your house a couple of times.
I do remember. My sister Lizzie was very good friends with you. My baby sister Lizzie was good friends with you. Listen. Thank you for calling in. Happy Thanksgiving. It's good to hear your voice. We shared a lot of good times together. So God bless you. Thanks for calling in, Steve After. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
My man, take care. Rita is on Long Island on line 6. Good morning, Rita.
Hello, Sid.
Hi.
Hi. My name is Reva, and it's a long story. My husband passed away in February, but
oh, I'm sorry.
We have been listening to you and to Bernie before to Imus, and he loved all of you. And it was the first thing he did when he got up in the morning was he went in and took a shower and put the transistor radio on so he wouldn't miss anything. And
it's nice.
And I did, first of all, happy birthday to your Gab.
Thank you, my son Gabriel. Thank you. He's 13
right.
Today. Thank you.
And my grandson turned 21 last Friday.
Oh, Mazel Tov.
And after my morning prayers every day, I listen to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Rita. Thank you.
And you know, your mom, I understood everything your mom was saying because I feel the same way she does.
Yeah.
But it was a tradition for 52 years. I did Thanksgiving in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing Thanksgiving this year
because
we need to be, I want my grandchildren to know that the tradition of what Papa, what we did at home will continue. And so it's very important, and I wish you and your family only the very best.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that call, and happy Thanksgiving, and I wish you nothing but love and support, okay? Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Is this almost over? I'm not going to make it. I'm going to start to cry and fall down, and all these big muscles mean nothing today. They mean nothing. Judy is in New Jersey on line 5. Good morning, Judy.
Hi, Sid. I'd like to wish you a happy Thanksgiving and your son a happy birthday. I've spoken to you before.
Thank you.
I lost my husband in May.
Sorry.
And I spoke to you before about this.
Yes.
I was just wondering if I could say hello to Carol. I'm in the same situation with her. So if the screener could take my number and have her call me, I hope she's listening. I'd appreciate it if you can do that for
me,
please.
We'll put you on hold right now. Thank you. You're welcome. I think you mean my mother, Naomi. Carol is actually Bernie's wife, and thank God Carol is okay. But thank you. Thank you for that. Lou is in Connecticut. He's on line 2 this morning. Hello, Louis. Lou.
Sydney, you good old son of a gun.
How are you?
You know, I got to thank you and Bernard. You guys are the best thing in the morning. I love listening to you fellas.
Thank you.
I hate it when you go on vacation. I know you guys need it. But I just want to thank you. I'm not a Twitter guy. I just want to tell you this real quick story. My kid was sophomore in high school playing high school football. Not a strong kid. I mean, a strong at heart kid, but little guy. Deep. On the talent list, I'm talking, there were like 4 kids ahead of them.
Right.
But they all got hurt in this one game. It's a Friday night. My son-in-law look at each other and go, who are they going to put back there to return the punt? Out comes my kid. I'm like, oh, geez.
Wow. Please tell me he caught the punt and scored a touchdown. Your phone is breaking up. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to end the story for him. Here comes my kid, who's like last on the bench, who we never expected to play, and he's forced into duty due to injury, and the first punt he catches, he took it to the house. I'm proud of my son, and I love him.
There's your story, Lou. Just go with that. Let's go to one more, then we'll take a break, come back, and wrap up the show. Lenny, the Chronic in Fort Lauderdale, line 7. Good morning, Lenny.
Sydney, happy
How are
Thanksgiving
you?
To
you
the
too,
Rosenbergs,
buddy. Thank you.
The McGurks, and to my family and friends, and especially to the Sands family that's driving right now and listening to you on the radio.
Where are you right now, in Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah, I'm in Fort Lauderdale. I'm at work. I snuck in a call for you, buddy. That's what
you're
I think.
The best. Yeah. Thank you, Lenny. You're the absolute best. You
hey,
are.
I'm so happy for you with all the TV shows, the movies and the TV shows. It's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
It's awesome.
Yeah, listen.
You got a new quirk that's driving me a little nutty, though.
What is it?
You're laughing after everything you say lately.
Yeah, you don't like that. You don't like when guys laugh at their own jokes, right? You don't like
no,
that.
No, I don't mind it. But you're doing it a lot.
Yeah, well, I'm a very funny guy. I have a lot of funny things to say.
You really are.
See, there I go again. There I go again. Hey, and I read all your stuff on Facebook, too. It's beautiful. So thank you, Lenny.
All right, buddy. Thank
all right.
you.
Happy Thanksgiving. One more. Scott, line 6, Connecticut. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Sid. I'm going to call this What Would Sid Do?
Okay.
I was flying JetBlue to Florida,
uh-huh.
and I modified my mask
uh-huh.
to remove the inner linings, but you could see my face, but I was fully covered,
uh-huh.
mouth and nose.
Uh-huh.
I was asked to remove it and put on their mask.
Oh.
What would Sid do?
No, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I got to tell you, it's funny you bring that up, Scott. It's so funny. I went to what store was I in yesterday? I had to go to, I went to a local pharmacy, which is on the corner of 104th and Broadway. I needed something from the pharmacy. And it was right across the street. And Dwayne Weed is like 2 blocks away. So I let me give the local guy some business. I walk in, and as I'm asking for the product, he's like, you got to put a mask on. I'm like, sir. I don't have to do anything, okay? I just want 1 box of whatever it was. You got to put a mask on. I said, okay, tell me where this stuff is. Then maybe I'll put a mask on. You have to put a mask on. He said it 3 times to be in the store. I swear to God, Scott and the Kruger, I go, F, but I said the actual word, F you, I'll buy it down the block. And I walked 2 blocks to Dwayne Reed in the cold, and no one told me to put a mask on, and I bought the same exact product for the same price. But I really wanted to give the local guy business instead of the big chain, but he was such a douchebag about the masks that I'll never go back there again. Never. And if JetBlue told me to put my mask on, I would probably cause a whole big thing. Now, eventually, I'd have to do it because I need to fly to Florida, but I would cause a whole big stir because that's me. I'm a loudmouth Jew, and I want things my way. But if they don't go my way, then I cause some trouble. And then eventually, like everybody else, I do what they tell me to do. All right, folks, about 3 minutes to go, and then I'm getting the hell out of here. Let's go to Jeannie in Queens. She's on line 7.
Hello there, Sid. How are you?
I'm good, sweetheart. How are you?
I just want to say how much I'm moved by your story about your father, and congratulations to your son.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
For Gabriel. And I feel the same. I know Carol through other shows. We're both singers, and I feel the same way she does. I'm in the same position. I have no family left. My mom died 11 years ago.
I'm sorry.
Everyone else is gone. So I feel the same way, and I really appreciate so much your sharing your stories with all of us. And
thank
I
you.
Wish you a very happy Thanksgiving and lots of safety and mazel and everything good.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. That's so. I got to tell you, this listening audience today is killing me. They're killing me. What is it, Mike? You want to say something? Hurry up. Come on. I'm running out of time.
Sure. Why not? You know, just to put light on everything, and I understand everything. Everyone's going through a tough time. But, you know what? I want to do something special for your son. Not only am I going to get him on the show of my podcast, why don't I do your audiobook for your book?
We can talk about that later. Thank you for that, Mike. Anne Marie's in New Jersey. Quickly, line 8. Anne Marie, what's up, sweetie?
Hi, Sid. I wanted to say that I'm very sorry about your dad's passing. I love that you are so real and you share all of your family stories, struggles, loving, everything with us. I just wanted to share that my mom and dad both passed away in 2019.
I'm sorry.
Just 3 weeks apart. And today is the 2nd anniversary of them passing.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's very difficult to have Thanksgiving. And yet we all need to get together and celebrate their lives.
Yes.
And that's what I would say to you, is that although your dad is gone, he continues to live in you and Gabriel and your daughter and your sisters and their children. And you just need to get together, as painful as it is, then not having your dad there. But remember every memory and continue to talk about it and share it with those that remain behind.
And that's a beautiful message. Thank you, Henry. I'm so sorry about your parents. Happy Thanksgiving. And thank you for that wonderful message. Thank you. Thank you. We're done. I am done in more ways than one. I can't thank this listening audience enough today, and all the folks out there, friends and family that texted me throughout the day, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter as well. You guys were great. Justin Ellick, great work. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving, kiddo.
Thank you.
Luke, you too. Mike Garcia, Deb Valentine, Maddie, proud of all of you. Gabby Lopez on the stream. Excellent job. WABCRadio.tv. Folks, enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday tomorrow. We'll be back, me and Bernie, on Monday. Until then, from all of us to all of you, peace.